Are you ready, comrade?
Yeah, yeah. Oh, sorry, wrong. Da, da.
Da. I can't do a Russian accent anyway. It doesn't have to be. It just has to be a New Hampshire accent. Because we're now a blue state. Well, comrade, let's get started, shall we? Live from across the USSA, this is Late Night QRM. Your comrade hosts tonight are Josh, Barry J., and Michael, the People's Youper! Tonight, the election is over, and we are all now happy and productive comrades living fruitful lives in our beloved blue states. Discuss how wonderful life has become under the leadership and guidance of our dear Supreme Leader. See something, say something. All that and more, we hope, on Late Night QRM. And now, digitally gathering at an undisclosed location in the southwest corner of the People's Republic of New Hampshire,
Free Stuff or Die!
His comrades, Josh, Barry J., and Michael! Hello, everyone, and welcome to Late Night QRM show number 71 from the People's Republic of New Hampshire, down in the southwest corner. I am Barry J.
And carrying the hammer and sickle in the Youper territory, I am Michael, the virtual Youper, in the People's Cave in the suburbs of Copper Harbor.
And, so far, that is all we have for tonight. Just the two of us. Apparently, the authorities have come and captured our other two comrades. Because we all now live in a blue state, as of last Tuesday. It wasn't just the presidential election. it was, well, in New Hampshire, it was pretty much blue all over. Everything turned blue.
Does that mean we blew it?
Oh, that was horrible.
All right, I'm not losing.
Yes, it was. It was. It wasn't good for Republicans. Let's put it that way. And a lot of red states. Well, I won't say a lot of red states. Our state turned blue, but then again, we're surrounded by blue up here in New England. So, it's probably only fitting. Well, it's not fitting. I thought we were the last holdout of freedom. But no, we have been consumed to high taxes, and I'm sure we're going to have more taxes by the time. And I'm not even talking about the presidential election. I'm talking about New Hampshire. I'm a little worried about that. Because, well, the blue people, all they ever talk about is starting an income tax up here and raising other taxes and doing this, and they just love to talk about taxes all the time. And it's like, frick, how much of my paycheck do you want? You know? So, Josh has escaped. He's in the underground. He's having major problems logging into Skype. They're probably listening.
Yeah, they probably are.
Huh, let me send him a text. Okay, comrade. Be careful. They are listening. You'll probably turn around and go, huh?
For those of you listening along, we're going somewhere with this, I think.
I don't know where we're going with it now. Well, we were going to... First topic was the election results. And apparently...
Right.
Well, apparently, Mr. Obama, President Obama, has won re-election. It was still kind of a squeaker. The country is divided 50-50, pretty much. And, but in those all-important swing states, for some reason... Mr. Obama pulled it out. President Obama pulled it out. And in fact, not only did he pull it out, but in some counties in Ohio and Florida, he pulled in 140% of the vote.
Wow, that's impressive.
That means 140% of people in certain counties came out to vote. Isn't that wonderful?
That's giving their all.
When you can get 140% of the people of a county to come out and vote, I think that's amazing. And he should probably be president. You know? Same thing happened down in Florida. There was like 106% of the vote came out. Some places it was 117% of the population came out and voted. That's just amazing. I mean, God. I mean, maybe
it's the Chicago way.
Maybe he was chosen by God to rule us. I don't know. What I'm waiting for now is a good old sequestration, because that will not only wait until people get a hold of their income or their paychecks come first week of January. Wait until the surprise hits them, because I really don't think they're going to solve anything by then, which means sequestration is going to kick in. Everybody's taxes are going to go up. Those of us who kind of work for the government, I'm not a government employee, but I work for the government as a contractor. Yeah, I hope I have a job come January. That's all I can say. There's going to be some slashing, major slashing going on. So we shall see. We shall see. See what happens. But, Second Amendment rights? Yes, next day he threw his support for that UN treaty that's for conventional weapons. So, I wonder how that's going to work out for us, too. So, it's going to be a fun roller coaster here for the next couple of months. See what happens.
Months?
Maybe years. And,
yeah. Like 48 months, maybe.
Yeah. So, I guess we should move on to the second topic here.
Yeah.
Anyway, if Josh shows up, if he can break through the interference and get on Skype, I'm sure he'll have more to say about the election results, but we'll wait for that. So the second thing,
he's still running through the building looking for the phone that's ringing that Morpheus told him to go find.
Oh, jeez. Okay.
Oh, I'm out there tonight. I don't know what to say.
So your wife won her elected post.
Yeah, we're going through, you know.
Congratulations.
The
I think.
Yeah. Well, it was a surprise to everybody. See, she's the treasurer on the school board, and last year she replaced somebody who couldn't finish their term. So in order to continue with the job, she had to go on the school board election. Well, it wasn't like anybody was contesting them. There were three people that were willing to go back on the school board to, you know, make things work. So the election for that particular part of the ballot was, you know, school board election, choose three out of three.
Hmm.
So there's only three people on. But they all didn't get the same number of votes.
But they all 3-1.
Oh, yeah, they all 3-1. And Chris actually had the most votes out of the three of them. Like, how did that happen?
So she truly did win.
She did win.
I'm going to kill my video just because I think I forgot to kill. We usually kill it when we're actually doing the show. Because it takes up a lot of bandwidth. So she won. So even if it was two out of three, she would have won. Even if they were choosing one, she would have won.
Oh, yeah, she won.
Wow.
I told Chris that. She's like, what? I said, you won. There wasn't an option. I said, well, there were three of you. It said pick three out of three, and you got the most votes by far.
Now, did she realize that she was on the ballot?
Yeah, she knew she was.
Okay. I was wondering whether somebody put her on there.
No. It was such a given that people weren't even thinking about it, and they were asking her to work in the voting place. They're like, no, wait a minute. She can't work there. She's on the ballot.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, she couldn't. She couldn't be an observer or whatever. Yep. So, geez, that's funny. Congratulations to her for winning, and I'm sure everybody just loves to be on the school board.
Yeah, what needs to be done.
Yeah.
There's more people on the school board than there are kids in the school.
Really?
Remember, we still have a one-room schoolhouse here. There are more kids than people on the school board, but not much. It literally is a one-room schoolhouse.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what I meant to say. Schoolhouse.
Wow. That's fascinating. Okay. Well, let's go on to the next topic because...
Yeah, you've got me hooked on that.
Yeah, well, I have some questions. I am highly doubting. Where do you live now? You live in Copper Harbor, Michigan, right? Yeah. Way out at the end of the little thing of the peninsula, right?
Right.
Of the upper part. We called it a name last time we talked about this. You could say it was like a finger or something else.
Yeah.
What's the population there?
We're almost up to 90.
90 people live there.
Right.
And yet, somehow, you have been able to acquire 245 points in one day.
Uh-huh. You got 80. What did you do? Did you run around and tag, check-in places for every neighbor you have and then check into each one of their houses?
Well, no, but... And the day I did that, remember, here's the explanation. Oh, by the way, how do you check in at Lake Superior?
Yeah, checking into Lake Superior. Yeah. Come on.
But, you know, right now, my wife can't drive because of a medical condition. Mm-hmm. And you're aware of that. I don't think we've brought it up to the listeners before. Right. But so I'm Mr. Dad Taxi, and I'm driving back and forth to school or to the school area at least 5 times a week right now. So I'm traveling 35 miles of tourist locations. And that first day, every time you check into a new place, you get extra points. Plus, every time you check into a place before your friends who happen to be 1,200 miles from here, I have kind of an edge there. You get an extra 2 points per check-in. And all of a sudden, I was, you know, I check into the scenic sites, and I was getting outdoor badges, and I check in. At, you know, I'd stop in the parking lot of the bar, and I get extra points there. And it, my seventh grader was having a blast. He's watching me. You mind if we take the long way home tonight? No, Dad, that's okay. So, the one that, you know, what torqued me off is I'm sitting at, and one of them is Great Sand Bay. You know, I'm in the parking lot. If I went 3 feet forward, I'd be rolling down the sand dune.
Yeah.
And says, congratulations, and you're checking at Great Sand Bay, but we can't give you any points for this because your phone says you're not close enough. And I'm like, what do you mean I'm not close enough? But yeah, that was an incredible first day. I don't know if I'll be able to match that again.
I don't think so. You still got him, though.
I'm still adding, but I'm still checking in. I'm going for mayorship of a couple of places that I go by all the time. It hasn't. I don't know how many times you got to check in before you hit get to be the mayor.
It depends on. You've got to do it for several days. But if there's other people checking in, then you got to beat them. But since you're probably the only one using Foursquare up in your neck of the woods, I think it's just you've got to do it consecutive days. Because I have one. Where was it? They kept saying, oh, one more day and you'll be the mayor. One more. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Well, I don't know whether I want to become the mayor of this. Keep saying one more day and you'll become the mayor of New Hampshire Discount Liquors and Wine Store.
Yeah, it's like Forsberg congratulating me on checking in 6 times in 2 weeks at the Brickside Brewery. You're like, well, I don't know. Maybe I should stop checking in while I'm here.
Yeah, well, the liquor store happens to be right next to the drug store where I go to have my prescriptions filled, which is, I am the mayor of the drug store. That's not saying much either. Yeah, I'm the mayor of the drugstore and the liquor store.
Story in that. But that first day, I said, we're going for it, Mark. And he goes, sure, Dad. And he's like, when can I join Foursquare? And I said, not till you're 13. You're like, dang. It's only about 2 weeks for him, actually.
So, oh, there you go.
Yeah, he's all waiting and ready to do his social media thing as soon as he turns 13.
Wow.
Which he understands. He's a little frustrated about because all of his buddies have been on Facebook and all these other things for like 3 years now. And when he came, you know, he asked us, which I appreciate. And I said, well, you know, the law is 13. He's like, oh. And, you know, my wife and I talked about it and I talked to him again and said, you know, Mark, we know you're mature enough, but we also think we'd be sending the wrong message if we said, yeah, but you can just disregard that law.
Yeah.
So, he understood that. And he's been really good about it. Right. So we'll have a social media party for him when he turns 13.
Yeah, that's, yeah. Is that what it is? I you know, because we don't have kids, I'm not sure.
Yeah, that's what the child, I forgot what the actual law it falls under. I'd have to look it up, but you can't collect data on the internet on anybody under 13. You know, social media is collecting data on them.
that's true. I never thought about that. They are collecting data left and right. Matter of fact, who was it? They were actually watching. I was watching The Verge, their show, their video show that they put on once a month, and they were actually talking about Foursquare. I think they had the creator of Foursquare, the founder, whatever, the guy who started it, on, and they had a map of all the Foursquare check-ins and stuff of Manhattan and Long Island in that area. And uh-huh. You saw all these things, and then they kind of ran it like a movie. They watched, showed the check-ins and what happened as the storm was hitting, and everybody kind of moved inland and into the center of the island. And it's just like, you know, you see all these lights spread out all over the place, and all of a sudden they're all concentrated into several areas. And I was like, wow, that's kind of interesting statistics just based on Foursquare.
Okay, are we still in real time here? You disappeared for about 10 seconds.
Oh, I'm here.
Okay, now we sound like we're interactive. As long as I'm not answering what you asked me like 10 seconds ago.
Oh.
That would sound awkward on the recording.
Did you hear what I was talking about with Foursquare?
I heard you up to Manhattan, and then you just went away.
Oh, well, they basically ran it like a movie during the storm, when Sandy hit. And okay. You watched all the lights that were evenly spread out all kind of go toward the center of the island and into several places. And, you know, because people moved, they got away from the shorelines and stuff.
Okay.
Where the water was. And it was just interesting. And that was all they were doing was plotting a Squarespace check-ins.
Oh,
during
all
that
right.
time. So it's some interesting data comes from things like that. Yeah, especially since it's, you know, people, normal people. Hey, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. You know, so kind of it'll be interesting to see what they do with that kind of statistics with all these social programs out there. So kind of neat.
Yeah, I'm kind of I think part of that may have also been even if people were in the outlying areas, the cell towers were going down in the outlying areas, they couldn't check in anymore.
That's true. I never thought about that.
So it was following the connectivity as well.
Yes, you're right. That is true. So that probably had something to do with it. I'm sure they could look at the data more closely and see what was going on.
So. Yeah, and speaking of that storm, you know, I was really bummed the way things worked out last week that I wasn't able to join the show. But at the same time, I think it was really fitting that you and Josh kind of recounted your week. It did make for a very entertaining show. Sorry about the, you know, it's not good for the circumstances that caused it, but I think it was appropriate that it was just the two of you doing that.
Well, we were kind of lucky. You know, yeah, our power went out. You go stare at a power pole here, cross-eyed, and it we have a power outage up here.
Yeah, I know that.
Yeah, you've got the same. You got the
last
same
night,
situation.
Actually.
Yes, I got to say that we were lucky. We got some high winds. Well, like we said last week, we had some high sustaining winds between 30 and 40 miles an hour, which is nothing compared to the way Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York got. And, you know, we just consider ourselves lucky that we didn't get slammed any harder than we did. So, and it was only 2 days out of without power. The generator worked. This is just a synopsis from last week, but yep, everything's good. Now you lost power last night?
Yeah, well, we ran the town yesterday, one of the numerous times I have to drive during the week, and Saturday afternoons it's my youngest son's bowling league, and sometimes my older son has got some social stuff going on in town, but you know, we basically do a family, we're going to run the town and come back, and my oldest son stayed home because early yesterday morning, my youngest and I took the computer parts that he had acquired and built a new gaming machine. So my oldest son decided to test that out while we were gone. But there were gale warnings on the western end of the lake, and the winds were pretty good, and it was raining pretty good, like it is now, actually. And I'm thinking, you know, I see tree limbs down all over the place. It's like, yeah, I bet you the odds are good tonight. When we get back to the house, I stopped at the grocery store before we left Calumet and picked up some fresh materials to make another batch. I like to do a Thai stir-fry dish of some sort on the weekends. And we're unloading the groceries in the kitchen, and I stop and I turn to my wife. I said, "Did you see the lights flicker?" And she stops and looks at me and goes, "No, didn't notice anything." And I'm like, "Yeah, okay, maybe it's just the water pump kicking in." And I start unloading the groceries. I throw some oil in the wok, start pre-getting it, and lights go out. And my wife goes, "That flicker I saw." It's, you know, completely pitch darkness except for the beep on the UPS running the gaming computer and the light from the monitor, because that's all still up and running. So I walk over to the corner of the dining room, pick up. We have flashlights all through the house. All the time we have flashlights all through the house. Grab a flashlight, walk outside in the rain. Make sure the pigtail is on the generator, turn the key, start it back up, go inside, and throw the transfer switch. Whole house comes back up, and I go back to cooking dinner. So, and it's out. And with the repairs I had to make on the internet, there used to be two backbone connections to our property here, one at our house and one at the garage. And the house one has gone away for the, at least the near future, and maybe gone for good, at least a long time. And although the house was back up and that receiver was up, it's expecting to get signal from the garage, which is not up and running. Mm. So the kids are like, "Oh, we don't have any internet." And I was like, "Well, I can tell you most of the, this part of the UP doesn't have internet right now." But I continued to make dinner, got everything cooked up, made dinner, cleaned up, came out to the garage about 2.5 hours later. Mm. And at this point, just before the power went out, my youngest son goes, "Hey, Josh is online." Bleak. Oh, the lights went out. The Xbox was still on because the TV, everything's, I've got one big UPS on the entertainment center.
Okay.
So we have time to shut things down in an orderly fashion. I hate just pulling power on the Xbox and everything else. So he's like, "Well, the Xbox is still on, but I don't have an internet connection." And like, "Yeah, I'll take care of it after dinner." So I'll make dinner, come out to the garage. I grab all the spare 12-volt, 7-amp lead-acid batteries I could find. Run upstairs, throw a couple of them to power the receiver and the first mesh node here, and then go out to the intermediate link at, there's a summer spring house, or screen house between, except it's really a Four Seasons room, between the other two houses in our place.
Yeah.
And I throw a battery in there and go back up to the house. And now we're back up to full speed internet and then some, because now there's absolutely no competition.
Oh, geez, that's right.
We're down to, in the entire county, we're probably down to 5 people that actually have internet access.
Hmm.
So now the kids are really happy, and house is all set. My wife's watching DirecTV, you know, like, okay, everything's all set. Generator's going good, and I check it, and hasn't even come out full yet. I don't have quite the capacity that you do on your generator, but I can go probably 8-9 hours on a fill, especially when I have the. I don't have to worry about the choke on this one. I was laughing at that part, by the way. I thought about that right away when you're talking about it, because I did it on my old generator. So I go to town, and the general store now has, it for the last year and a half, the general store has a auto cutover generator because they've lost so much inventory over the years to all these power outages.
Mm-hmm.
And the store was closed, but the clerk had left the front sign on so that it was the only light in town. Actually, there was two. There was the light from the Gaslight General Store, which ironically is not gas. And then way down at the Minnetonka Resort, there is still one gas streetlight.
Really?
So you get this glow of the gas streetlight down at the intersection of US 41 and M26. And I'm coming up over the hill, and there's a whole bunch of people standing out in front of the brewery catching fresh air, because it's illegal to smoke inside in Michigan in a public place. And they're all to get their arms up and everything, and like, I pull in and like, "What's the deal?" And I said, "Well, you know, it's so dark out here. You must have been 3/4 mile away, and the lights from your headlights, we couldn't see you. We couldn't hear you. But every streetlight in town was lighting up, you know, the reflection, reflective, lighting up from the reflection from the headlights, even though they couldn't even see the car."
Wow.
Well, I pull up to the brewery, and they say, "Hey, how's it going, Mike? You get tired of sitting in the dark?" I said, "No, I got power." "You got power?" "Oh, that's right. You got a generator." "Well, you're probably bored because you don't have internet." I said, "No, I got internet." "You got internet?" "Yeah." "Next thing you're telling me, cable." I said, "No, I got DirecTV satellite." "Everybody grab your growlers. We're going over to Mike's place."
Oh, jeez. Yeah.
God. So, they had candles all over the place inside the brewery, and they had already installed an LED light over the dartboard.
Oh, jeez.
Playing darts. Yeah. That was pretty much my Saturday night. And I'm trying to think how long the power was out. 4 or 5 hours.
Hmm.
Pretty cut.
Well, they send a. How long does it take a crew to get up there?
I think there's a crew based about an hour's drive from here, but it was peninsula.
Oh, mostly really?
It's out. So I'm suspecting the outage was way down, way far south of here. So I don't think they had to go that far.
Now, do you call your power outages in so they know where to start mapping and looking?
Occasionally, but the first thing I do before I call in, mm-hmm. and I walked. The reason why I came down to the garage in the first place is and throw a battery on the internet was you can log in and see the outage map on the internet.
Okay,
and yeah. it updates pretty quick. So I'm not sure how much automatic stuff they do. One of the things, the reason why I have internet is when the power goes out is that UPCO, which is our company. Provided the UPS systems for all of the towers in our internet system.
Hmm.
Well, what they have set up is, because we don't have it, but a lot of their clients have got the RF transmitting meters. So they can monitor the system remotely from their headquarters. So they already know when stuff is going out before people even start calling them.
Wow. Okay.
I logged in from the garage here and through the battery backed up system, through back to the fiber, which is like an hour's drive from here, and I saw the map, and they already had it mapped out where what the outages were and what zip codes were affected and how many people in each zip code, and like, oh, they already got it covered.
Wow!
I
was gonna say, at least you got faster service. At least getting back up.
Yeah, well, there's really only one main line up and down the peninsula, so.
I didn't think about that. Oh, wow. So speaking of power, here's one that actually you put on probably a couple of weeks ago, solar-powered entry gate.
Yeah, well, I was thinking it was getting too long in the tooth on that show to go into detail on this, but one of my neighbors had regular gates, these huge gates. They're really cool looking, actually. I should send you a picture. And put in remote control gates.
Okay.
Thinking, there's no power in this property. How are they doing this? And sure enough, he shows up a couple weeks ago and says, Mike, could you take a look at my automatic gates? And, yeah, I was kind of curious how these things worked anyhow. And I get there. Not working. And I'm like, well, okay. I look at it, and then I look at the two 25-watt solar panels connected to a box, connected to a controller. I look at the solar panels, and I look at my neighbor, and I said, this ain't going to cut it in the winter up here.
He
said, well, sure. Well, no, these panels put out at best 800 milliamps on a strong summer day when they're aimed. And he's in the woods. He's in dense woods
here. Oh, jeez.
Trying to charge a 24-volt battery pack that runs this gate. And it's pretty efficient, but basically there's two 12-volt 7-amp batteries in series.
Yeah.
With a solar panel array that at best will put out about 800 milliamps, and that's peak. Oh.
Wow.
And they're not auto-aimed. They're just kind of generally aimed at the trees. So I actually, I kind of untook the surface covers off and everything and waited for the sun to actually hit the panels. And I measured a whopping 80 milliamps.
Jeez.
This isn't going to cut it. Run a lot of solar and wind-powered stuff up here. This isn't going to do it. So I told him I'd redesign the system for him. The guys who did the install for him did a first-rate job, but... They're used to being able to tie into commercial power, and they said, we checked around, and they this is a possible installation, but we don't know. And I was concerned. I didn't see any blocking diodes anywhere, but then I looked at the controller for this gate.
Uh-huh.
Gates actually got a solar powered controller built into it.
Wow.
So it's, you know, yeah, actually a pretty sophisticated controller, but it just needs, it's not made for the woods in northern Michigan here.
Yeah. How far up are the solar panels?
Far up?
Well, are they sitting on the ground or are they?
About 3 feet off the ground. Dirt.
That's not going to hack it with the amount of snow you guys get.
Oh. I have a solution for them, actually. I started looking for wind generators, but small wind generators. And there's a company out of England that will make a small wind generator that will start generating power at 3 miles an hour.
Well, nice.
Which isn't really an issue up here. I was looking for something. The issue there is that they only do
Oh, you're breaking up a little bit.
One, two.
Yeah, you're fading in and out.
Really?
Yeah, for some reason.
Okay, how about now?
Hey, you sound good now.
That was interesting.
I think it's a Skype thing.
So the long and short of it is I found a really efficient small generator, but they wanted $1,000 for it. I'm like, you know, I can get a 400-watt generator for $400. So we might actually design one from scratch. I only need, you know, I need between 800 milliamps and an amp out. And that's on the high side. Even if I could get 500 mil out of a small wind generator. And that's just taking a small 24-volt, you know, permanent magnet motor and throwing a prop on it.
Hmm. Now, how much does a small wind generator like that cost?
Well, the smallest I normally deal with is 400 watts. And the 400-watt generator you can pick up for about $400, $400 to $500.
That's not too bad.
They've come down, actually. Mm-hmm. You want to get the marine generators and stuff that can handle salt water and stuff. Then you're going to talk, you know, $1,000, $2,000.
Yeah. But no, if you wanted to put something like, you know, up at the house here, but of course you'd have to put in the whole system for batteries and everything like that so you can add it to the power grid.
Right.
But I don't know. I always thought about that. I always thought about solar panels, but solar panels up in New England are kind of tough in the wintertime, A, because of the snow, and B, because you don't get a lot of direct sunlight because the sun is so low in the sky that not only is it low in the sky and it's darker, but there's also a lot of trees and mountains that get in the way of it. You know, so... You know, I always said if you're going to put something up here, it would have to be a combination of solar power and wind power.
And that's what we do up here. I mean, basically, internet up here is powered that way.
Hmm.
Now, they have solar and wind generation plants at the relay spots since 2002. Oh. So I have a bit of experience, at least with the local area.
Yeah.
But no shortage of wind in the winter up here.
Now, do you put those, are they standalone, or can you attach them to the tower, or is that a bad thing to do?
They normally have their own mast.
Okay.
I think you could put it on the top of the tower or stand it off, because it's got to be able to swivel.
That's true, and yeah.
Side, way off to the side.
Mm. So, well, that's interesting. That's You guys are doing it right up there. And, yeah, I always thought about wind power. And if I did live next to a stream or some sort or something that with running water, I would also think about throwing something in there like a, you know, water wheel or something.
Right.
You know, to generate power. Because, hey, that's free energy sitting out there. Yeah. So... Oh, your Xbox 360 lives again. Of course, naturally it does because they were playing on it. But, yeah, I think the last time we talked, your 360 had bit the dust. You got the ring of red.
Yeah, the red ring of death and the drive had jammed. And I thought, you know, and it was just outside of the 3-year warranty that I'd bought on it.
Hmm.
And one of my older son's friends needed some help with a programming project that he was doing for school. So I said, well, why don't we just go out and use Visual Studio 10 that I've got on my MacBook? And so they came out to my office, and they were working on this homework assignment. And I thought, well, I'll just grab the Xbox, throw it on the service bench, and see what I can do. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't even gone to YouTube yet to see how to disassemble it. I just figured I'd wing it, you know, from my old service manager days. So I tore the thing all the way down to the DVD drive, and it was still jammed. But I see how the thing comes apart now. And then I thought, well, I've got nothing else to lose. I'll take the DVD drive apart. So I take the cover off. And I found out where it had jammed up. So I was able to, it actually had jumped the track. So I put it back in the line, reassembled everything, screwed it all back together again. And I was like, well, worst thing's going to happen is it's just going to crash. But it's worked ever since. And then I finally went online and looked. You can buy a brand new DVD. I mean, it's a specialized DVD for the Xbox, but you can buy a brand new replacement for the Xbox for $30.
Huh. Wow.
Really isn't much else to go wrong on these things, you know, unless you crash them. So, yeah, I think we've extended our life in the Xbox at this point. And I told them every time we had a problem was they would take it out of our entertainment center and drag it into the bedroom to play it in there when my wife wanted to watch football or something.
Yeah.
So the new rule is leave it where it is. It's never had a problem sitting in the entertainment center, so just leave it where it is. As a matter of fact, I haven't even put the screws back in it. I just snapped the cover back over everything, and it's like, you know, well, the DVD drive is screwed back in, but everything else is just snapped together. Because I figured it wasn't going to work, and I'd be taking the thing apart again right away. But so far, it's been a couple.
That's good.
Yeah. And now I've got the screws all out, so all I have to do is unsnap the panels and another. It's worth a $30 investment to see if another DVD drive fixes it if I have another problem.
Well, I just got a text from Josh.
Yes.
Apparently, he's having password problems.
What?
I think that means he's having a mental problem remembering the password. So he went to reset it, and he's waiting for Skype to send him a reset in the mail. Ah, Josh.
Account?
What's that?
I could send him my username and password for my second Skype account.
Yeah. Would I recognize that, or would he have to, you know, do the whole join me and or have me accept him and all that stuff? I think we'll see if he can get it. I mean, oops, you were breaking up again.
I said both my accounts.
Yeah, they've changed Skype somehow, because remember how we used to Cylon and things like that?
Yeah.
It doesn't do that anymore. What it does now is it fades. Like you'll be talking and all of a sudden you'll fade down to almost like nothing and then totally blank out and then come back full strength, and it's kind of interesting. I miss the old Cylon days.
Maybe we should look at Mumble.
Yeah, well, remember I paid for so we can have multiple. Can you have multiple people on Mumble? I guess you can, because isn't it for gaming?
Yeah, no, you can. No, you paid so we'd have multiple people on video.
Oh, okay. Oh, that's true. That's true. I did. Yeah, we could look into that maybe. We'll see. I mean, Skype usually doesn't give us that many problems. Matter of fact, I was thinking it was getting better, but
yeah, so I'm going to send.
Oh, you're breaking up now pretty good.
Ah. Whatever, Mike. Something. Can you hear me now?
Yes, I can hear you now, but you cut out every so often. You just kind of like fade out.
Okay. You take the fill for a second. I'm going to send Josh a quick email.
Okay. So 360 is Xbox 360 lives again, which means that soon we're going to have one of those late night cure, and we're going to have to get the group back together again, the squad. And oh crap. You know what's coming out this week? And yes, it's one of our topics here. The new Call of Duty Black Ops 2 is, I think, on Tuesday. Comes out on Tuesday. And I guess I'm going to have to spend some money. I don't even get on the Xbox that much, but I'm going to probably have to spend some money and get that because I know that that's what everybody's going to want to play. They're going to play Call of Duty Black Ops 2 because, A, it's got cool weapons. It's got a bunch of neat stuff. I've seen the commercials for it. Lots of new weapons. And at the very end, they showed zombies. So, so yes, there are zombies. I guess there's a zombie mode.
I'm still working. Hang on.
Okay. So Call of Duty. Oh, and another feature that I noticed while I was perusing the tech news this week is Call of Duty, you're going to be able to stream your play live so other people can watch it. Now, I don't know why you'd want to do that, but I don't know. If you can stream it, that probably means you can record it. I don't know. That could be interesting. I do have video QRM still available, and I haven't posted anything on it at all. Hey, you just came up.
I just sent my second account to Jash.
Oh, okay.
But tell him to check his email from me, because he can use that to log in.
Okay. Because, your other personality popped up.
My business personality.
Yeah, it just went offline.
I just wanted to check the credentials before I sent them to Jash.
Oh, okay. I see. Okay. So anyway, so not only is Call of Duty Black Ops 2 coming out this week, I believe it's the 13th, which is Tuesday, right? And you will be able to live stream your play. So that could be something interesting. So we shall see. Michael and I have been, when was it? I guess it was Friday night? Friday night. Yep. We, of course, we're getting back into amateur radio, both of us big time, both being amateur extras, and both been quite well. I've probably been much more dormant than you have for a longer period of time, because you at least used it as a phone system between you and your wife on VHF and UHF. But here, I've been silent, and I had all these radios sitting around collecting dust. And I said, you know, I paid good money for these radios. I should get them up again. And the main reason was I didn't have a HF antenna outside. And as you heard last week, Jash came over and climbed right up the roof. And that was so funny. I don't know whether... I guess I told you the... I don't know whether I told it quite this way. But, you know, I'm sitting there looking at where it is and trying to figure out, okay, well, how are we going to get up on the roof? I could pull out the big ladder and put it up there, but then we're going to have to kind of get up there, and then I'm going to have to situate it in such a way that we can reach stuff up to each other. Well, I'm sitting there thinking about all this. Jash goes into the garage, just pulls out the 8-foot ladder, step ladder, puts it up against the lower roof, which has quite a slope on it, and I still have nothing from Skype, and I can't remember the damn password.
Send him a text to look at his email. I sent him a login.
I will. you carry it for a minute while I send the text. Oh,
okay.
Well, you can continue my story. No, you can't.
I don't remember it that well from the show. You did talk about it.
Did I talk about it? But yeah. Meanwhile, so he just goes flying up the roof, and he's sitting there next to the pole. Okay, what do you want to do now? And it's like, oh, yeah. So we got the antenna up real quick in case you missed last week's show. Okay.
No, actually, you might have told me that Friday night now that I think about it.
Oh, maybe it was. Because I don't remember whether we... Because we were actually doing the show the same night we put the antenna up. So it was kind of interesting. Okay, you fill for a minute.
So I'll fill for a minute. Okay. One of the things I want to talk about tonight is there's been a change in operation in my wife's truck, and there actually is a tie-in here. But earlier this week, my wife and I went to town, and while we were there, decided to go get breakfast at Tony's Country Kitchen. Locals will know where that is. Fantastic food. But I remembered I left something in the truck, so I go out, and I'm heading out to the parking lot. And I hit the key fob, and instead of the doors unlocking, the windshield wipers go a couple of times and the door locks pop up. Now, that's not a feature I'm used to seeing on my wife's truck. So I told her about it, and she goes, "Are you sure that's what you saw?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's what I saw." So, but it has never done it when she's looking at the truck. And all this week, especially if it's been running and then stops for like 10 minutes, they go back out and hit the key fob, the windshield wipers go twice, and then the doors pop up. The locks pop up. And I'm trying to think about, you know, what's changed. And then I remember that the truck was parked right next to where the lightning strike was. So I'm starting to think we may have some engine controller problems starting to come up here. But truck's running okay. But it is a new feature, except it won't do it. My wife's looking at the truck. My sons have seen it. Happens to me all the time. But she's not convinced because it doesn't happen for her. She's never seen it happen. Like, no, really, honestly. Hey, Dave, can you talk to him yet?
Who? Oh, no, I'm good. I'm back. I'm back. Yes, I sent him an email. I sent him a text. I was listening to your story, actually.
No, it's not an option available for this truck. So, I mean, it's kind of cool, actually. Yeah. You hit the key fob and get two swipes of the windshield wipers, and then the doors pop open. But that's not what it's supposed to do.
What is that ding-dong going on?
With what?
Have you heard? Are you hearing a ding-dong on your end?
No.
Every time you say fob, it goes, there's a ding-dong.
Are you serious?
No. Yeah. It's. I mean, I'm serious. It's very strange.
When I say fob?
Yeah, it didn't do it that time, but as you were talking every so often, and it usually was right after you said the word fob, it would go ding-dong. These tones would come up.
Interesting.
I'm looking around to see, is there any other kind of communications I've got up on the computer that I'm not aware of that makes a ding-dong sound? Oh, too much. Let's see. Yeah, I don't have mail up, so it's not that.
So let's just go right in the amateur radio. So okay. Finally, yeah, you were talking about it. You finally got active. I haven't been active on HF since we moved up here, full-time, that is. Right. Other than I had an HF rig in my Jeep for years, and the antenna on that finally crapped out last year, so I've been radioless in the Jeep. So we finally, I mean, how many engineers does it take using Skype to coordinate a communications on the radio? But we finally talked to each other.
Yes.
I've been kind of hesitant. I don't have the beams up yet, so I've got this wire antenna, same like yours.
So Friday night, yeah, we got together, and we were actually on Skype, and then we started going through the band saying, okay, let's try here. And we were just trying to send tones out to see whether we could hear, you know, okay, can you hear me? No. Oh, let me try. Can you hear me? No. So we go to the next band. And finally, we did hear each other on, I don't even remember what band we were on.
We were on 80 meters.
Was it 80 meters?
And yeah, CW portion of 80 meters.
Yeah, so we could hear the CW. And, of course, then Mike starts sending me something. And, sad to say that because of my lack of participating in amateur radio activities, I have forgotten my Morse code, so he's busy sending it, and I'm like, I don't know a thing you're saying, Mike. So that has prompted me, though. I found a nice app on the iPhone, and it actually works on the iPad too. And let me find it, because. Where did I moved it to the end? That's right. Of my 200 and some apps on my iPhone. It's not there. Where the heck did it go? It was there. Honest. Ah, jeez. Now I gotta look for it. There's a program, an app called... Oh, Michael, you just came online. So maybe...
Oh, really?
Yes.
My split personality has arrived. Split
personality just came online.
See, I don't see myself come online, so no, it's up to you.
Yeah, well, hopefully he'll call me and not you.
No, my two accounts don't see each other, so
right.
I have to call
him. Oh, he'll have to call me. Okay.
As long as he doesn't call me my business contacts, because that's, should try that's what that account him. Is. Yeah, you could call him. You should add him. Yes, actually.
I gotta find him.
It's the.
I know which one it is. I just got a. I've got only. Oh, online. Oh, there we go. There you go. Okay. Let's see if I can. Add to call. Okay.
So it's going to show a picture of me.
Yeah, add to call. I guess I can do this. I think this
yep,
will work.
There I am. There's my other me.
Let's see if you answer.
One ringy dingy, two ringy dingies.
Hello?
Hello?
Hello.
Michael, is that you?
We got a setting off. Give me one second here, guys.
All right.
Audio settings.
Hello. Hello.
Hello.
Hey, hello. What's going on?
Okay. You're looking
like me, you know that?
Josh, you got a lot better looking.
Bitch. There we go. Now I got you. I had I got multiple USB devices going here, and I had to configure them. Sorry for the delay, guys.
No, that's all right. I'm just thinking, like, wait a minute, I got a second account.
I thought about starting one, but I'm like, wait a minute, I got to fill out a 37-page questionnaire about how many pairs of white socks with gray toes that I have. I'm thinking, oh my God, I'll never get it done.
Oh, jeez. Yeah, and not only that, but then I'd have to accept you as a person to...
Yes, and you barely will accept me as a friend. I know. No, I'm just messing with you. No, it's literally... this is going to sound completely and totally ridiculous.
Yeah.
But I went ahead and... it was cleaning up all the machines, you know, defragging everything, getting everything polished up and working a little bit better.
Mm-hmm.
And I must have inadvertently said, wipe out all the passwords when you go for your 7-pass DoD swipe.
Mm-hmm.
And so it did. And it wiped out all the passwords. For instance, when I used to sign on to Skype, it would log in automatically.
Right.
And then it just dawned on me, I don't know what the password is.
You need to get the LastPass. Yeah, it's.
I need to get a Mac. That's what I need to get, because honest to God, that wouldn't be so bad.
I've got a program called LastPass, and I store all my passwords in there, and it's got one password that I make very complicated, and
right.
So nobody can get into it, and it remembers all my other passwords, and it automatically fills things in as you log into them.
Sounds like a heck of a good piece of software.
Yes, it is. I think I pay $10 a year for it, but that's so it goes from system to system to system, I think. But I've been very happy with it, because
I honestly wouldn't have had so much of a problem, so I naturally did, hey, I forgot my password, you know, to Skype. Here's my login. Here's the account that it's with, the email, yada, yada, yada. Send me a temporary token that I can go and change to a new word, update the account, and then use it. Well, they say they can take up to 30 minutes to receive that email with that token ID so I could change the password. And, well, guys, you guys know, we all usually convene sometime before 7, and here it's 8:15, and I still haven't gotten an email.
Ah, Microsoft. It's a wonderful company.
Well, did you see what I sent you in a Google message? Probably not. Oh. I sent you a couple of Google pop-up messages.
Oh, you did?
There's a lot of superlatives in them about Microsloth and their support for Skype.
Maybe that's what was bonking.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I don't Barry's know where like, it is,
what's
though.
What's that dinging sound? I can't tell what it is.
That was Google Instant Messages. I was instant messaging you through Google Plus.
Oh, there it is. I see it. Yeah. You know what? You couldn't hear it because it was on my Windows machine. Oh, there they are.
Mm-hmm.
Jess, your timing on that is every time I said I was talking about a key fob in a truck, and every time I said key fob, your message would come through.
Yeah, here it is. I kept hearing this bong.
Key fob, my computer goes ding dong.
I'm actually glad to have been of assistance, guys. I didn't realize, I didn't know my timing was good.
Well,
you know,
it was funny. Yeah, you were perfect timing. And the last thing I said to Michael, I said, I wonder if I have some communication program up somewhere that I don't know about and it's making a noise.
Yep.
Yeah, here it is. Let's see. I'm so fucking pissed off right now.
That's my opener.
Shitty Skype support from Macintosh.
Nope.
Or Microsloth. I'm sorry.
Microsloth.
If anything was going to push me off the Microsloth wagon train, this is it! With exclamation points. Okay, well, now I know what the Google Instant Messenger sounds like.
Yes.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I sat here and I'm waiting for this email, and then I shot them an email and I said, hey, I haven't got my email. And I went to the page and said, hey, if you didn't get the email, send us an email. So I sent them an email. If you didn't get another email, click on this link. So I click on the link. And the whole time I'm sitting here looking at pictures of my kids and my wife and thinking, come on, guys, this is the 21st century. This should be automatically spooled from a server somewhere. Once it's verified.
Yeah.
Why am I waiting this long?
Really? I mean, it shouldn't take that long.
No.
I mean, I forget my passwords in lots of places before I got LastPass. And, you know, you send an email and it, like, pops up before you know, you can release the return button. You know, your finger from the return button or enter.
Exactly. I'm amazed. I'm actually going to go peruse over there now. By the way, this is a sidebar note. Mm-hmm. Have I mentioned how phenomenally awesome Safari works on a Windows machine?
You know,
you brought it up a couple of times, actually.
It's funny you say that, because on my Windows 8 machine, all my memory was gone again. And I said, okay. No. So I downloaded Safari, and I'm actually using Safari on the Windows 8 machine right now.
Yeah. Yeah,
I stopped using Chrome, although I'm not ready to totally complain or blame Chrome for it, because I'm also discovering a few other things.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm using Safari on my Mac Mini over here, and what I noticed was I've got plenty of memory right now, but when I bring up, and I haven't figured out which one it is, it may be a combination of the two, but if I leave Gmail up, and if I leave iGoogle up, if I let it go overnight or a couple of days, I'll come back and I found this out because I'm using Safari, I will have all memory consumed.
Wow.
And when I go and pop up the activity monitor, and I look at who's using the most memory, Safari has a name for it. Let me bring it up here. It's called Safari Web Content. And really? That was at the top of my list of memory users.
And Safari.
Safari Web Content. Not just really? Safari, but Safari Web Content.
All right.
The processor. See, when you bring up Chrome, it's just got a bunch of Chrome apps running simultaneously. So you don't realize. I said, So then I deleted. Actually, I killed email, Gmail, and I killed iGoogle. And it went down a little bit, but it still sat there consuming memory. So I stopped Safari and restarted it. And boom, I got all my memory back. So I'm not ready to blame the web browsers, but I am ready to blame Google. I think they've got very buggy code.
Yeah.
That is consuming memory, and they're not. They've got memory leaks all over it.
All over the place. Yeah. That's what I was reading on a bunch of blogs. Google Chrome's got memory leaks like you read about.
Yeah.
And it's a resource burner. So matter of fact, this new machine, I've never even put it on, and I won't.
Yeah.
My old machines, I've wiped it all off.
Yeah.
I will say that for a, and I, it sounds ironic, for a very short window, Mozilla's Firefox was kicking butt. I mean, it was just zooming right along, and really, it acted like the Mozilla, of the Firefox of old. It was awesome. And then all of a sudden, we start hitting hiccup after hiccup and trip up after trip up, and yeah, get that, oops, we're sorry, Firefox crashed screen. And I'm like, wait a minute, I thought we were beyond that.
Yeah.
Which pushed me into the other direction of Safari again. And honestly, Safari, I will note, loads a bit slower on Windows 7 64-bit, like when you first turn it on and click on the icon. It takes a second or two longer to get up to speed, if you will. But once everything's on, it just boom, 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 it just flies.
Well, on its native Mac, it's lightning fast. I mean, and the pages load lightning fast, too.
I hope to find that out here in the not-too-distant future.
There you go. Mac Mini would be a nice thing to have.
I was actually thinking about that very same thing.
Yeah.
Well, either that, because I can pick them up for pretty much short money used.
Yeah.
But I have to say, I coveted the MacBook Air. I looked at one of those and went, my God, this thing is, it weighs nothing.
Yes.
And it does everything. And, oh my God, I love it.
Yeah, they can be pricey though. They're still a little pricey, but maybe they're coming down in price because the MacBook Pro 13-inch is out now.
Right, and I don't know. See, that's there's where I'm torn too. I really think that's an awesome looking machine.
Yeah,
I mean the form factor, 13-inch. I don't want a big screen in a laptop. It's one of my biggest qualms about this one that I have now. Mm-hmm. I don't want a 17.5-inch screen for a laptop. I need it to be super portable. But have, you know, all the same computing power as a desktop machine, and you don't get that with tablet computers.
Yeah, yeah, that is true. But well, Christmas is coming.
Yeah, exactly. But there again, too, the end of the world's supposed to happen 2 days before Christmas. So I think personally, it's already started to happen. But that's just me.
Shall we go back to the election results topic?
Oh, man.
Michael?
Yes?
We were waiting. We kind of briefly talked about the election results topic, and we talked about how we all live in blue states now.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes.
Yeah. And Michael made the comment that maybe we all live in blue states now because we blew it.
Yeah, that sounds about right. I'll take that as an answer, a possible reason.
But I greeted Michael with the comrade. Hello, comrade.
Ah, yes, comrade Colonel. How are you, sir?
And
Dosvidanya.
Yeah. So it's and like I said, it wasn't just the presidential election here in New Hampshire. It was pretty much a blue state all over.
Yeah, there was six out of the eight counties.
Well, I'm not even talking to president. I'm talking about both our congressional seats went Democratic, and our governor went, well, it was Democratic, and it stayed Democratic. Right. The executive council, which our governor has very little power, but the executive council, which has five people, three out of the five are Democratic now.
Yep, exactly.
In fact, the only thing that the Republicans held on to was the House, the state House.
Republican Party is broken.
It is.
Plain and simple. You know, call a spade, but that's what it is. It's broken. It's fragmented. And it will continue to, well, I don't know if it's ever going to get another chance to lose any more ground because, I mean, I've got all kinds of wild, crazy-ass conspiracy theorist things. I'll be surprised if this, if given what's going on right now, in 4 years, if we're even having another election.
Yeah. Well, I have to, I told Michael this, I have to give credit to President Obama. His team really did get the vote out. Because word is coming in now in many Ohio counties, several Ohio counties, I should say, and several Florida counties. In Ohio, one county, he his team was so good that they got 140% of the people out to vote.
Yeah, it's good.
Mm-hmm. And yes, several counties were like that in Ohio and in Florida.
Yeah, 140% of everybody went out and voted. So not only did every single registered voter went out, hell, 40% more went and did it a second time.
Well, you know what the motto of Chicago is: vote early and vote often.
Yeah.
Yeah. No kidding, huh?
And yeah, so, you know, there's a lot going on there.
I'm so utterly disgusted. I am so jazzed at some point. Part of me is so excited to, I mean, when all the shit hits the fan and I can finally get away to be able to be part of the, you know, podcasters across borders, because I'll be doing my portion of the podcast from Canada. Because I'm moving. When the shit hits the fan, my ass goes north.
Yeah. It's going to be an interesting time, because the next day, and I mentioned this already, the next day he showed his support for the mm-hmm. UN Conventional Guns Weapon Treaty.
Oh yeah,
the next day.
Yep.
Which is going to come in and try to bite us if the wimpy Republicans that are still left in control.
Consider it gone.
Yeah.
Consider it gone. Your Second Amendment, gone.
Yeah.
They'll ratify it. Guaranteed.
Yeah. Of course, now we're wondering whether sequestration is going to take place.
Oh, almost assuredly. I was just, as a matter of fact, it's funny you should mention that. I went to a website here off of one of the radio podcast programs that I listen to. I'm trying to think here. I think it's called dailyjoblayoffs.com. And it lists every company that's announcing layoffs or closures since the his reelection, the incumbent's reelection, and it's scary to see how many companies are closing, laying off massive amounts of people, or cutting everybody back to 30 hours so they don't have to pay the fine for Obamacare, and also don't have to provide them with health insurance.
Mm-hmm. Well. It's interesting because I have seen some comments coming from the left about such activities, and they said, they're just sore losers. Oh, look what they're doing. Oh, they're just doing that because their guy lost. This is terrible. You know what? We should have a boycott on those products. Let's boycott Papa John's pizza. Let's boycott, what was the other one?
Papagino's was Papa another one.
Papa John's, I think it's called.
No, Papa John's, right.
And there was another one, too, that I forget. But we should boycott them. It's like, mm-hmm. Well, people are losing their jobs already. And if you do a boycott, more people lose their jobs.
Yeah, well, you know what? This is the part that really gets them. But I can actually say this much, that they're all for their man and happy for you and the whole nine yards and ooh la la and all that other happy shit. But remember that. Remember who you wanted and how you wanted your healthcare system to be set up. And that's a horrible, horrible thing to say, but this is a very real thing.
And remember what your paycheck looked like.
Right. Year. Well, where I was going with this one is, remember when the death committees determine that your 64-year-old mother or your 71-year-old father can't contribute into their communistical system anymore, so they're not going to get the heart transplant or the kidney transplant or the bypass surgery that they would normally need. They're just going to give them pills to make them comfortable and basically let them die, because that's what you voted for.
Yep.
That's Obamacare. Okay, if you can't throw into their communistical little system and you're not worth your weight for work, and to pay for everybody else lounging around on their ass, you get to die.
Work.
Yeah, that's going to be a foreign word. That's a four-letter word right there.
Really? Work?
I had it actually wrong. The website is www.dailyjobcuts.com. Mm-hmm. All one word. Daily Job Cuts. And I'll tell you what, it's a scary, sad, interesting read. Hmm.
And we're all nervous about it because, you know, we kind of got hints of what the companies we work for are planning to do, well, maybe planning to do.
Right.
And it's not looking good.
I have sat here and said to myself, how in the living hell are we ever going to accomplish any goals and meet any kind of production schedule for our customers if, in fact, the decision was made to say, nope, everybody's doing 30 hours a week? Really? You really think you're going to meet, as it is now, we work, 6-7 days a week if necessary, two shifts, and then you're going to say 30 hours a week, you ain't going to be able to produce jack, and that's probably the point.
Yep. Well, it'll be interesting to see what happens.
Well, I still have a shovel, and the tide still comes in, and I'm going to have to try and find somebody to pay me to shovel shit against it, because that's probably the only kind of work that's going to be out there. Yeah. As long as my back holds out.
Yeah. Oh, well. We shall see.
Mm-hmm. The next, I don't think the next 4 years, I think the next 2 years are going to be scary interesting. I think we're going to see a change like you can't imagine. And, well, we talked about the movie Atlas Shrugged. Watch it. It's coming.
You mean coming? It's here.
It's, yeah, you're right. It's already started. Our last chance to stop that ball from rolling just came and went.
Yeah. So, but what the hell do we know? We're all racist.
We're all racist, bigoted, hardworking pigs that have some screwed up idealistic way of patriotism and love for one's country.
That's right. Now, where's my free stuff?
Yeah, give me my free shit and I'm not going to work anymore.
That's right. Remember. Free stuff or die.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
That's the new motto. That's the new motto of New Hampshire. Free stuff or die.
I want my check every month. I want my green food stamps to pay for all the food on the table. I want you to give me a free cell phone. I want you to supplement and pay for the electricity that's in the house. Although all we do is sit around all day and eat the food from the food stamps and watch TV all day. Oh, by the way, you get to pay for my cable too. Basically, I'm going to let the government pay me to draw fucking breath.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting. Well, we'll see what happens. Of course, we're the naysayers.
We've just lived. 50% of this country. I mean, this country is so idealistically divided right now.
It is.
Between red and blue. I've had more people say to me in end conversations, the revolution's coming. And that's why the first thing they'll try and do is, well, amend the Second Amendment and ratify it so you can't have any guns because, well, the public that takes up arms, which is what the Constitution was based upon, if you don't like the government in place, you oust it. Right. And if you can't do it electorally, then you do it by force. They work for us, or that's the way it used to be.
Right.
But it's written in the Constitution. But that's the first thing is you do. You disarm them. You keep them dumb. You keep the public dumb. You keep them unarmed. And you keep them hungry and dependent on Big Brother. And then they can't ever uprise against you.
That's right. That's so, exactly right.
Given those odds, fuck it. I'm moving.
Yeah, be careful where you move to because this was the last place where you could truly be free.
Oh, I realize that. And there is no place really on planet Earth anymore. I have this simple theory on that. If I were to up and move to a new country, I don't care what the name of the country is, but to a new country and to become one of the citizens, patria, into their society, then when I move there, I agree 100% that their rules, their laws, their way of living, I will accept and abide by. Mm-hmm. Why? Because I'm going there. Unlike so many of the, that's right, now there's never an illegal alien, but undocumented workers who come here.
Undocumented Democrats, please.
Undocumented Democrats and decide that, no, we're going to speak whatever jibba-jibba-blogga-blogga friggin' language they speak and get pissed off at the sight of the American flag and that the country should adopt their ways from their old country. Willful. Was that fucking good? Go back. But right now, I can honestly say this from the bottom of my little black heart. I don't care anymore because I'm already accepting the idea I'm going to have to go someplace else. And wherever I go, I'll accept and play by their rules. I'm just waiting for the shoe to drop. And when I start to see shoe number one drop, the minute shoe number two, when the laces start coming undone, sell all your shit for whatever it's worth, because let's face it, money isn't going to be, American dollar won't be worth shit. So you trade off what you trade, get what you can get, buy. Yeah. Catch up with you guys later someplace else, maybe. That's right after, you know, just before, like, it becomes like China, where they shut off Google and the internet, because then you got to keep the public dumb. Don't educate them. If they get educated, they might get those crazy ideas.
Yeah.
Have you seen the new laws about expatriation there, Jash?
Yeah, they're trying to pass where they won't let people leave.
Well, you have to be in good standing with the IRS before they'll accept you rejecting your U.S. citizenship.
Right. Well, I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah, well,
that's because literally you pay all your taxes and then you scoot.
Well, pretty much there's an exit tax.
Yeah, there's going to be an exit tax.
What do you have? Give it to us.
I fortunately have a beautiful bride who's actually a citizen of another country. I can leave real easy.
Yeah, that's true, but that other country isn't in the greatest shape either.
No, but at least it's in better shape than the way this one's headed.
I don't know.
And they
about
are standing
that.
On their own. I respect that they have stayed out of the EU as far as the economics are concerned.
They have, but they've got other problems.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah. So, you know.
But like I said, you go there, you accept the way things are being played over there, and whether they're here, wherever. I think what I find personally more painful than anything else, and I truly, truly do, is your kids and my kids are never, ever, ever, ever going to know what it was like to live in this country when patriots were voted into office and ran it. True patriots.
Yeah.
They're never going to know what it was like, how good it felt to be an American, how good it felt to say, where are you from when you're abroad? I'm an American. I'm from the United States. And what it was like to have opportunities, so long as you were willing to put in the work, you could climb. They're never going to know that world, ever.
Yep.
It's already shitty, and it's just going right down the damn rabbit hole. And that's the part that bothers me the most, is watching those liberties that we had as kids growing up, and then as young adults, and as now as fat, old, grumpy, middle-aged men, be eroded away, one by one by one, right in front of your eyes.
Yep.
If I go someplace else, I accept the rules as they are. Okay, that's the way it is. Why? When I step foot in here and they said, all right, if you play by our rules, you can stay. Okay, well, then I accept your rules. But at least I'm not there to watch where you had an abundance of rules, our abundance of freedoms and rights, and have them taken away one by one by one by one by one till you had nothing. That's enough to tear a person down.
Yeah.
So, well, that's my two cents.
No, it's true. I mean, we're back into big government. You know, government is, everybody's mommy and daddy, and they'll take care of you. No, they won't.
Nope, not at all.
And that comes from lots of interaction with the federal government in many different ways, and they are not the best at doing anything correctly.
Now, as a matter of fact, the track record has proven communism does not work. But what was that one of those polls? Was it a Zogby poll that said young American voters 30 years of age and under, like 51% of them, prefer the idea of communism or socialism, as opposed to a democracy and capitalism.
Good. Then they'll have a lot of fun when they finally start getting the bill for that.
Yep, exactly. You know, exactly. You made your bed. Now you get to sleep in it.
Right. Yep.
Well, that's if you have a bed. Actually, it's just going to be a straw mat on the floor.
All right. So I guess you know where we stand on the election results. A bunch of whiners crying about it.
It's okay. Yeah, I'm done whining. And you know what? They'll never have to listen to us whine once pretty much you get to the point where it's like, fuck it, I'm out of here. Yeah. Then there's no more people to whine.
Good, go. We don't need your type.
Mm-hmm. And then once you sit in your own pile of feces, like it's like some monkey in a zoo, and there's nobody willing to do any kind of work at all to pay for your lazy ass sitting around, what are you going to do then?
Yep.
Because that was the other thing, too. Investors are pulling their money out of this country like it's a friggin' yacht sale.
I know.
They're pulling money out of here and putting it overseas, which is going to just boost the economy overseas. They're dumping tons of money into the UK and into Europe. Anything they can do to get their investment dollars, whether it's still worth whatever it's worth, out of the U.S.
Yep. Yep. It's going to be an interesting January. That's just the start. So, okay.
Well, I hope my Xbox works in Canada or in England.
you're screwed. We got 60 cycle power here.
Yeah, I know. I'll have to buy an inverter. Push it down to 50.
Yeah, that's all right. Uncle Sam's going to take it from me anyway. So
yeah, he will, because it connects to the internet, and we could listen to late night QRM on Internet Explorer downloaded to your Xbox, and that would educate people so they have to take it all away. And that's okay. You know what? I'll go over there and be a sheep farmer or some shit. I don't know. I'll buy a book and learn.
I was thinking a small island somewhere, maybe, you
know. Like Fiji?
Yeah, Fiji. Or, I don't know. Probably too many storms and too many earthquakes. I don't know.
I'd rather get taken out by Mother Nature than taken out by my own government.
Yeah, that's a good point. That is a good point.
I'd rather take my odds with Mother Nature.
Exactly. Yeah. God trumps the Obama administration as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah. if you really gotta get wound up about something, I wasn't there, but my kids told me about it and I heard about it in spades. Thursday afternoon, there was a veterans presentation at the combined schools where my kids went.
Mm-hmm.
As it got going, some guy stood up, some adult stood up in the crowd that was there to celebrate, and started screaming, "There is no God. Obama's our God." And then started making poor references about our veterans as he screamed out of the assembly in front of all the kids.
And this was a grown man?
This was a grown man.
Oh, God.
"There is no God. Obama's our God."
You know,
Now, did any of the other parents help assist this poor man who must have bumped his head out of the auditorium in a polite fashion in front of the children until they were beyond the auditorium doors, where he fell down a flight of fucking stairs? Accidents happen, you know.
Let's put it this way. We take our veterans very seriously up here.
Yes.
So I didn't see what happened. I didn't hear any ambulance calls afterwards, but I didn't have the radio on either.
Don't need an ambulance if they're not moving.
This is what I heard. this is what I heard this afternoon. I was busy paying bills and had the news on, and it broke to cover the ceremony at the Tomb of the Unknowns down in Washington, and they said President Obama was going to speak, and unfortunately my wife put the remote control on the other side of the room, otherwise I would have switched to watch Gilligan's Island or something.
Exactly.
So I was kind of because I had everything in front of me and it would have been a pain in the neck to get up and get the remote control, I was forced to listen to our dear president's comments. Mm-hmm. And he started off saying that, basically he said that we're here to honor our veterans. And in particular, he was there last year honoring the last veteran of World War I that had passed away. And then he went on to talk about he volunteered his services for 2 years and the United States was there for him for the rest of his life, as it should have been. And then he went off into how America, aka his administration, has helped so much with veterans affairs, and how things, how we're, you know, pulling together for our honored veterans. He basically turned it into a political speech about how much this country was doing for the veterans.
What his administration does for veterans, it's a crock of
shit. Well, he said it as America does for its veterans, instead of the day where we're supposed to honor the veterans on what they did for us.
Right, right. He turned it around. It's all about them.
He turned it around, and I could not believe what I was listening to. It was almost like, you're so lucky to have us here, veterans.
Yeah, it's sickening. It's enough to make you want to throw up. It is. It's honest, and I'm not making light, and I'm not making jokes. I mean, I'm literally sickened in my stomach.
And by the way, happy veteran. I don't want to say happy Veterans Day. I think that's stupid. I heard somebody say that. I want to say thank you to the veterans out there on this Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
For your service to this country. I don't like it when people say happy thanks or happy Veterans Day.
It lessens the importance. Okay, we're not telling you saying Happy Thanksgiving. You're not saying Merry Christmas. Which, by the way, I'm still saying Merry fucking Christmas, not Happy Holidays. So kiss my ass. But when I say to all veterans, thank you, sincerely, thank you from my grandfather to my great grandfather and every veteran that's ever served. Thank you very much for at least providing what we used to know. And what we still technically have, but for a home, a country, and a way of life. And thank you.
And I speak for the President of the United States here, and you're welcome for all the services that we give you veterans. Mm-hmm. And you should feel so lucky that you live at this time in our nation, because we give you so much in return. Because after all, you didn't volunteer by yourself. And you didn't fight by yourself. It took a nation.
No, exactly. Well, not according to that genius. He did everything. I can't, you know what it is, man? Guys, it's just, I can't believe the blinders that people have. Literally the soup ladles full of crap that they were fed, and they're swallowing it happily and believing it as gospel. What happened? Did their balls drop off? I mean, I just quoted a friggin' The Dark Knight. Sorry. Did people suddenly grow fucking stupid? At what point did everyone lose common sense? It doesn't even have to be a smart. You don't have to have a high IQ. Just common damn sense.
Oh, they don't want to be responsible. They want somebody else to be responsible. That's what it comes down to. Oh, I'm not responsible for that. No, we'll get the federal. Oh, I'd rather just pay the federal government to do that. And I don't have to be bothered with it.
Never in my life has the phrase, "and this is the future of our country," ever meant so much. You know, when you look at half a dozen of the knuckleheads that are—I mean, you know—and you know, sitting out there, occupy this and occupy that, you know, and you look at them and go, "That's supposed to be the future?" You know, 20-something morons, hundreds of thousands of dollars in debt, who got master's degrees in fucking basket weaving. Yeah, you're really going to be able to market that one, genius. That's the future of this country. I hope I am long gone and dead and in the ground before I ever see that happen. I shit you not. I absolutely have no reservation. I don't want to be around to see it go to that, when it gets to that point. Mm-hmm. When those idiots are supposedly the ones in charge, nope. Not interested. I'm in heaven with Jesus, baby. That's the way I look at it.
Well, after last Tuesday's election, I'm honestly saying there is no God.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Or this dude's got one wicked sense of humor.
A wicked one, wicked sense of humor. Somebody needs to get him some Percocet.
Yeah.
Anyway, okay. Well, we were talking about amateur radio before we went back to the...
Mike's just laughing. Going,
what a segue.
Well, we're going to need amateur radio. At least exactly. We'll know how to operate the radios and stuff like that. We can move them around and we'll be able to have communications.
It's not going to be called amateur radio. When it's really needed, it's going to be called pirate radio because yes. You think the FCC is going to actually let you talk and spread information?
Well, I can see that, I wouldn't put it past them to take away the radio spectrum saying, we don't need amateur radio anymore. Yeah. Those frequencies could be better used by the government.
You get Skype. Exactly. What do you need ham radio for?
That's right.
Exactly. Obama knows what's going on anyway. He's omnipotent. He knows everything.
Yeah.
He'll just let the others know in those areas where there are emergencies by his mental telepathy.
Mm. Oh, and by the way, the help that's happening to the people from Hurricane or Megastorm, Superstorm Sandy.
Yep.
People are beginning to say this is worse than whatever happened to Katrina.
Mm-hmm.
And we're not hearing about that in the press.
Not one word.
And, to the point where, remember this past week, there was another nor'easter that was going to hit the same area.
Okay. Yep.
And people are still without power, without shelter. There's a lot of, robbery and
looting
like. and everything going on there people tried to call the FEMA office and they closed early because of the nor'easter.
Oh, isn't that convenient? Your job is to help people weather through the storm and keep them safe, and instead you're like, screw this, we're going home, the hell with them.
Yeah, they closed early.
You want to know what I saw today on that same note, fellas? Which I wasn't surprised. I'm seeing cars with jersey plates. People are getting the hell out of Dodge. And I was surprised. I saw carloads of people on jersey plates pulling the hotels and stuff up here as I was out and about. And I thought, yeah, get the hell out of Dodge. You know, cut your losses and say I'm done. I talked to another guy who has two houses down there.
Yeah.
Until the government takes him away, because he doesn't need two, he just needs a tar paper shack. But that's a different story. We're under 7.5 feet of water. And he's showing me pictures. This was at work earlier this week, and I thought, holy shit. And he's like, nothing, dude. There's no, they're not seeing any kind of help.
I don't see anything on the news about it.
No.
It's like, when Katrina happened, we were seeing it every freaking night on the news. And I'm not seeing anything on the news about this. Very little coverage. Very, very, very little coverage at all. So, our biggest mistake as conservative people is, and this is our fault, we let the left take over our educational systems, and we let them take over the media. And with those two things, you just don't hear news, and they brainwash the kids.
Yep.
They don't show them. I keep seeing the critical thinking. You don't know how to critically think. It's like, well, neither do you, because you've been brainwashed with one side. You don't look at everything. Yep. You look at, here's how you look at everything. You look at, this is what our teachers said was good, and now we're going to go over and look at what they said was bad. And that's how they critically think.
knows, has heard on this one. I can definitely say, having children of school age in the system, so to speak, hear what my kids have to put up with in school, from what I like to call the future welfare recipients of the United States. And quite honestly, this is no BS. I told my kids, just don't get into a debate. Don't get into an argument. Don't even discuss the subject with any of them.
Yeah, because you won't win, and you'll get failing grades.
And honestly, don't mention it in class. You know, when they're talking amongst themselves and whatever the hell, just don't even get involved in it. You know why? Because quite frankly, it's a mob mentality. Mm-hmm. They're all brainwashed and they're all idiots. And they're idiots in the sense that they've been told this is the way it is by whatever their parents say. Oh, we got to have us some Obama so we can get all free check. And my son was telling me about a kid that he knows in school. And he loves it on the 4th of every month, because then they got food in the house, and then they got the green stamps, and the house got all the food in it, and then they go and they make sure they eat like a whole bunch and have a good old time. I said, well, why doesn't mom or dad go out and get a part-time job doing something? I don't care. Work at a convenience store, change oil in cars at a gas station, don't matter. No, man. He said, oh, they're home all day, every day. And there isn't a disability involved. They're just home. But they love the 4th. And as his buddy, who said, he goes, he despises his parents for that.
Really?
And I'm thinking, well, there's one guy who actually, you know, a young man who's realizes he sees it firsthand. A bunch of layabouts. And the kid's eating peanut butter and jelly sandwiches at the tail end of every month because there's no food in the cupboard. And realizes that system doesn't work. And, you know, but it's a goddamn shame, man. It's a god-awful shame. And, you know, what are you going to do? You're right. The education system, that's the first way we let slip away.
Yep. We're doomed.
George Orwell's 1984. Actually, that would be better, because then you're just a drone. And you kind of don't realize you're a drone. You're, yeah. Well, I have a phrase that I don't know where the hell I heard it from, but I got people at work using it. The select few. Sheeple.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's used quite a bit now.
That's from No Agenda.
That's right.
Yeah, they call them sheeple.
Sheeple, right. And I heard it from a movie somewhere.
Yeah. Well, even Apple people are iSheeple, you know, because mm-hmm. they blindly follow Apple. And it's like, well, no, it's a good product.
Right, if it works and it's a good product, then
I'm willing to pay a little extra for it because mm-hmm. it works. Oh, right. But you know, we can get into, you know, I think
now you're going to segue into Apple, the Apple fanboy syndrome.
Oh, you know, we haven't talked about Apple at all until just now.
Really? Miracles do exist.
Yeah, and I, you know, like I said, I think the Android Galaxy is a good product, but you know, I bought into the Apple environment and I like it.
Yeah.
And I shouldn't be called an iSheeple because of that. I bought a product that just works. Yeah. And if you like Galaxy products, fine.
Good. Happy
go,
for it.
Go out Enjoy. And get them. Enjoy right. them. Doesn't mean you have to call me names.
No, not at all. Well, it does if you're on the left.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what they... Yeah, I know. Tolerance, right?
Oh, yeah. There's your tolerance you again. Know. Oh, we'll just name call. Oh, yeah. That's so mature.
Well, I'm done with the tolerance thing. I'm going to get that bumper sticker that says "Tolerate my intolerance."
Exactly. You know, dude, that is awesome right in there. I'm going to, you know what, Michael? Because you mentioned that point, I'm going to have to look up those. What'd you call it? The immigration laws and how they're changing them.
Expatriation laws. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to have to check those out. I want to give it a little looky-see right now.
Well, it's all because, who was it? The founder of something on the internet. What company was it? Remember he moved to Singapore?
Facebook.
Was it Facebook? No, it wasn't Facebook.
Wasn't one of the Facebook guys?
No, it wasn't Facebook. Couldn't have been Facebook because
he was one of the major investors. I thought.
Or, oh, maybe well, it was. I can't remember
because that was the news when they were getting ready to go public. It's like, wait a minute, you know, this guy's already blown the country.
Yeah, maybe it was Facebook, and he left. He moved to Singapore because he really wasn't from this country originally.
That was his home country, wasn't it?
It wasn't his home country, but it was. He decided, you know, he spent a lot of time there, and he decided he liked it, and that was kind of where he was basing. You know, that was home base now, so he decided to make it a permanent thing. And they were saying, oh, he's just doing that so he can get around paying taxes and things before, you know, any of the stuff hits. So So that's when they came up with the idea of having an exit tax.
Right.
So, yeah.
Anyway. Why is Facebook co-founder now in Singapore? CNN. Yeah,
it was the Facebook.
Yeah.
So, oh well, what can you do about that?
Eduardo Severin.
Yeah.
Severin.
He wasn't a U.S. citizen anyway.
Eduardo, that's not a Singapore name. Same as Brazil or something.
Yeah.
South American.
Yeah, I don't know where he was from. I forget. But he kind of made Singapore a second home, and I think he decided he liked it there. And I don't blame him. It's a nice place. Wanted to make it his permanent home.
Mm-hmm.
But, he's doing it because he's, you know, so he can move all his money out of the United States.
I don't blame him there either.
So he doesn't have to pay taxes on it. Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It'll be interesting. So.
I'm reading some of it right now. Survey of the laws of expatriation. Interesting.
Yeah. Do you have anything left over? Give it to us.
Yeah, exactly, because we're going to take it anyway.
Anyway. Well, we should move on to a happier note, because otherwise they're going to call us a bunch of whiners, which we are. We're whiners.
I don't know. Give a shit what you call me.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Change the channel.
50% of the people in this country agree with me.
Maybe more.
Maybe more. Right.
Based on 140% turnout. It could be 60 or 70%.
Yeah. So.
Let's get back to ham radio, okay?
Yeah, let's get back to ham cheerful. Radio. So, and Josh, I wanted to tell you about, they actually have an app similar to this for Android phones, but if and when you get an iPhone.
Okay.
Well, actually, there are programs out there, and I haven't researched it yet for laptops and computers too.
I'm holding my Droid phone in my hand now. Okay. Go ahead. What's the name of the app?
Well, I don't know on Android, but on the iPhone, there's a thing called Morse Elmer, which I know you're kind of said you were interested in learning Morse code.
Yeah.
You don't need to know it to get your amateur radio license anymore, but I just want to tell you that if you want to start learning it. Don't do what I did. Learn it the way I did. There's a method called the Koch method. K-O-C-H. It was a German physicist, I think, and he developed a method basically of saying, you want to learn it as fast as you're going to hear it.
Right.
You
want
to start off real slow and gradually build your speed up. You want to start like the average is... listening to 20 words a minute.
Okay, really? Okay?
And then what you do is you start off with two letters. Okay? And you listen to that and you practice that and you practice writing those down at 20 words a minute until you get it 90% or better. You can do it, cuz there you're training yourself to listen to those two letters. And then you add a third letter. And that's too slow.
That's training mode one.
That's too slow. You don't want to do it like that. You want to do it more like, let me see.
Let's see here. Hold on a second. I'll hit level select.
You want to do it more like this.
Okay.
Wait a minute. That's too slow.
That's 20 words a minute.
No, it's not.
No, it's
not. That is not. This is 20 words a minute spaced at 15. Listen.
All right.
And that's what they said is kind of a good place to start. And the other thing you want to do is use the Farnsworth spacing method. So you want to get a program that not only send, and what happens with that is you send the letters at 20 words a minute, but you space the letters apart at 15 words a minute.
Oh,
so
really?
It gives you a little bit more space in between for learning.
Right.
But you want to listen to them at your top speed. And actually, if you want, you could actually speed that. You could put that at 30 if you wanted to. But Michael's the CW expert. So, Michael, what would you say would be the best to start off learning?
If you're going to do it, I would not listen any faster than 20.
Right.
So the letter speed at 20 with the word speed at 15. Actually, I like that. If you slow it down to 5, it is so slow.
Well, I'm telling you, what you're playing there, Josh, it sounds like 5 words a minute.
The setting that I had it at right now, what was it? Let's see here. Morse code. Where the hell is it? I had it in here. You would think I have your iPhone in my hand with all the damn apps, but I don't have that many on here. Oh, there it is, Morse code. It was set up, let's see, Morse code trainer, hit receive, letters, level select 30. And I gotta figure out what the hell that level select means, if that means 30 words a minute or not. Actually, no. I go custom set, specify.
Now that was
it might have been characters per second. Or characters per minute, I mean. Characters per minute.
Gotcha.
That
sounds about right. Now burst length, that's how long I'm anticipating, you know, that they'll transmit. In other words, it doesn't go any higher than 8, so total bursts 10, go. This is just the alphabet.
Well, let me tell you.
Yeah, it's less. Sounds like 5.
Yeah, it sounds like 5 because I can copy it. I haven't touched Morse code in years.
Okay.
You know, and it's to the point. You know what 5 words a minute are? Because I actually saw somebody actually do this. a thing is for learning 5 words a minute. He's sitting there, and I don't know whether he passed or not because I don't think this is legal. But instead of sitting there and writing down the letters as he was listening, at 5 words a minute, he was writing down the dots and dashes, and then he went back and
translated.
You're not supposed to transcribe. And that's what it's called. In the VE testing, they are not supposed to be allowed to transcribe.
But somebody was trying to do that, and
you need at least 25 consecutive characters in a row, or you have to fill in a comprehension test. That's where it really gets me.
Right. Because then you could put the dots.
No, you don't have to copy it verbatim. You just have to know what they're talking about.
Right. Huh? Yeah,
good point.
And the other thing they said, I was reading about this because I am, you know, after Michael sent me some code on Friday night, and
right.
I looked at him and said, I don't know what the hell you're sending. Which was my call sign. I should have recognized that. I said, I need to get up to speed on Morse code, because it truly is. I mean, this whole conversation started. Well, let me finish what I was going to say, and I'll tell you how this conversation started. So I looked into this, and the best way to learn Morse code, because I didn't want to relearn it the way I had in the past. And the other thing they said is don't get a program that sends 5 letter groups. Okay. Get one that does random groups. Because you don't, unless you're in the military, and unless you're listening to, let's say, some old military code, there they send 5 letter groups, you're never going to hear 5 letter groups.
Right.
You're going to hear assorted sized groups. So you want to get used to hearing that right away. And I thought that was good advice too. So, and this thing, this app that's for the iPhone and the iPad is called Morse Elmer.
Okay.
I don't think they have it for the
I don't see Android, it here yet.
But I'll have to go online because I was looking to find something that was similar to this for the Android. But you're looking, like I said, what you want to do is look for the Koch method, which is K-O-C-H, and you want to have Farnsworth spacing in it.
Morse Elmer, E-L-M-E-R?
E-L-M-E-R.
All right.
But that's for the iPhone.
It's a ham radio term for tutor.
Yeah. Yeah. An Elmer. So, and the reason, so I wanted to get back into that because Michael and I on Saturday or Friday night, we hooked up on Skype. Mm-hmm. Yes, I know. People go, "Well, how are you going to do the amateur in-ear stuff if you can just chat on Skype?" Because Skype requires the internet. And if the internet goes down, you're not talking to anybody. But with amateur radio, I've got 3 or 4 radios behind me that I can talk to other people that have radios no matter what goes down. And I don't even need power because not only do I have some battery backup, I have a generator and I own a Prius. That I can throw, you know, run hours on end and talk to people far away without the internet.
Right.
In multiple modes, digital, Morse code, voice. Now, Michael and I were jumping from band to band to band trying to hear each other. We weren't too successful. But the last one, we went on 80 meters, and I sent a tone out, a tuning tone, basically a CW, with my gear, and Michael heard it. And then Michael sent one, and I heard it. So the only way, because of the propagation that night, the only way we could communicate would be on 80 meters and with Morse code. Maybe we could have done PSK 31.
You're right. We could easily have done PSK.
Yeah, but
if we can hear each other, yeah. you can do PSK with a station you can't hear.
Right. So, but the Michael wasn't set up to do PSK. So Michael then starts calling me in Morse code, and that's where my face turned red, and I said, "I can't read it." So, and I shouldn't be too ashamed because you don't need it anymore for amateur.
No,
reading.
You don't. So. Yeah, I enjoy doing it, but that's it's not a requirement for the license.
Right. So, but if you're interested in learning it, and it's cool because then you can get into all sorts of things like QRP, and I've got a little QRP rig back here that I built as a kit, and it's strictly for, I think it's one band, and it's I think it was like I think it was 40 meters, and it's 40 meters, and it's strictly CW, and I think it puts out a grand total of 3 watts. But with the right antenna and that 3 watts, you can pretty much talk all around the world.
Right.
If you know Morse code. So, it by far is the easiest signal to get out and communicate. And it can be fun. So, I am going to start practicing. They said practice between 15 and 30 minutes a day, if you can, and you get above, if you get 90% or better, then you can add the next letter, and then you keep listening and listening until you get back up to 90% or better, and you add the next letter. Mm-hmm. And then in this particular program, just randomly sends them. Doesn't make words or anything like that. And then, of course, after you get enough letters done and everything, you can actually go listen on the air and see if you can start, you know, successfully copying other CW people out there.
All right.
Listen to the ARRL code practice. Yes. I assume they're still doing that.
Yeah, they still have a schedule. Do I have the schedule here? I don't know whether I have the schedule. I have the ARRL.
Should be in every QST.
Radio bands. Nah, I don't know whether they put it every time. They usually put it out once a year now, I think. They have a chart. They might have it. I don't know. They don't have the schedule here. I know they just changed it because it's wintertime. We got out of daylight savings, so.
Okay. Let me pull out my handy-dandy copy of QST that I carry in my backpack at all times.
I actually read the digital version now. I mean, I have the paper version, but you know what they're doing now since they went digital?
Tried it yet, but what?
They've got all these extra things. Like, you read the story, and then and they're starting. If you look in the paper one, you'll see down at the bottom, you'll see a thing. It's like, hey, that's a little movie. That's a little video. and you press the button on the paper and it doesn't work. But if you're on the digital copy, you press the button and you see a little video that goes along with the story. And they also have some Audible stuff on different ones. So it's almost, they're getting to the point where they want people to move over to the digital side of things. But so it's interesting. We'll get you going, but we're going to have to get you working on your theory.
Yeah.
The rules. Cuz we can get you up. And actually, I am a VEC, except I've got to go find a VE. Yes. I where did I get VEC from? That's the course.
Well, VEC is the organization that you belong to.
Right. And I've got the book over here. I've got to pull it out and reread it because it's been so long. And then I got to go with other VEs and actually participate in something live, I think, a couple of times before they'll let me actually run my one myself. But they actually have they've lowered them out. You used to have 3 VEs at every exam, and I think they've taken it down. Is it 1 or 2? I think you may need 2.
You'd have to check.
I don't know. I don't know what the new rules are. I'll have to go check.
It was 3 the last time I
it was 3, but they've lowered it. They just lowered it, matter of fact.
Wow.
So
it's got to be at least 2.
I shouldn't say that.
You know, at one time it was 1. Because you could have, back when you had the original FCC tests, you could have a senior amateur radio exam, a licensed operator, give a test to a candidate.
Right.
Even before the VECs were established.
Yeah. Well, everything is so... Well, you could still have some cheating going on, I guess. But the question pools... Matter of fact, you just go out and get the tests from whichever, you know, I belong to the AWR.
Well, the pools are out there, so all the questions are already open domain.
Right. So... Mm-hmm. But did you find the schedule? I know it just changed.
I didn't see it in the index. It's got to be in there, but I didn't find it.
Well, you can always
hear them the other night, though. I thought I was just tuning across the band, like, oh, geez, they're there.
Yeah. So, but go ahead.
Yeah. Well, as I was saying, Friday night, you know, I got everything all set up this year, and then it's been a heck of a year for me. And then I was a little hesitant to jump on the air because all I had up was my G5RV. Mm-hmm. The center point of it is about a foot and a half from my 900 megahertz receiver that provides internet for the whole area around here. And I'm thinking, is that going to cause a problem? I mean, they're way apart in frequencies. Mm-hmm. But still, I'm running, you know, even at minimum, I'm running 100 watts plus.
Yeah.
16 inches from a weak signal microwave receiver. Well, I think we... proved that out Friday night that that's not an issue at all.
No, because we're on Skype at the same time.
Yeah, we were doing video Skype, and I saw no degradation at all, and I was running 100 watts. So today, in between chores, I went out and I finished the assembly of my 6-meter beam. Cool. And if you guys look at my, I don't know if you've been to my family homepage or not.
No.
But if you go to mylastname.com.
Yeah.
And bring it up, and towards the bottom of that page, you'll see the old antenna stack from my farm. And I'm pretty much recreating that here. So the 6-meter beam, the way I stack my beams, my 6-meter beam goes on top. So that's the first one. I've got the mast in the tower, in the thrust bearing, ready to go.
Mm-hmm.
I need a new dual band vertical to put on the top. So I got to purchase one of those before I start putting this thing together. And I constructed my first pigtail RG8X coax this afternoon. The ones that go up at the very top of the tower. I don't know if you are going to have a chance to go to the website, mylastname.com.
Yeah, looking at it. I'm going right there right now.
You see the tower?
Right now I'm looking at Copper Harbor. Hold on one second. It's still loading. Safari loads a little slower here on the old Windows machine.
Towards the bottom.
Oh, yes, yes.
Pictures of my kids. So they're much older now. Matter of fact, they're taller than I am. I really need to update this. But you'll see the tower on my farm.
Yeah.
pretty much recreating that. And at the very top, you'll see a 6-meter beam, 5-element 6-meter beam. That mast above the top of the tower is 13 feet long. So there's 13 feet spacing between that 6-meter beam and the HF beam at the bottom.
Okay.
So the idea is that you put everything together at the top of the, that mast, and you do it right the first time. Because it's not easy to get to once you put it up in the air.
Is that a tilt-over
tower? No, it's not. No, it's not.
You have to climb it.
I climb it. And I actually stand on the very top of the tower and throw the safety belt, the lanyard for my safety belt, around the mast. To work on the, that center one was a 13-element 2-meter beam. Mm-hmm. And from Wisconsin, if I pointed that east, I could work New York State.
Wow.
Wow.
I now have a dual band. Now, that's horizontal polarization. I have a dual band 2 meter 440 antenna in place of that now. Mm-hmm. But even standing on top of my tower with my lanyard wrapped around the mast, I can only easily service that middle beam. The top beam, I have to loosen all of the supports, pull the rotor out, and drop the mast. So it's really important to get everything right the first time. Right. So I've got the 6-meter beam all prepped and checked out and lined up and tuned up as best as you can, because tuning changes once you get it up in the air. Uh-huh. Today I made, and it's about the schedule that I keep when I do stuff like this, you make what's called a pigtail, which is the piece of coax that goes from the antenna to an area near the rotor where you have a barrel connector for servicing. Uh-huh. So that you can connect and, you know, change things out from the coax on down. But that piece of cable that goes near the rotor up to the antenna has got to be sacred, because you don't want to mess with it if you don't have to, because it's a lot of work.
Right.
So 6-meter antenna is done. I need to order a vertical to go on top of the tower. Not as big. That was a repeater antenna you saw on top of the tower there.
I was going
to
say, that's a pretty big antenna.
Yeah. Yeah, that was
huge
a...
huge antenna.
Yeah, that was an Aries repeater antenna up that tower. I don't need that anymore. It'll just be a, probably about a 3-foot antenna on top of it. That'll be dual band.
Mm-hmm. What's the one sticking out on the side on the arms?
The one so the one on the top was the repeater.
Mm-hmm. The vertical straight up.
The big vertical on the very top. Yeah, that was a repeater on 440.
Right,
and then there was also a VHF component of that, and the VHF component on that was simplex simplex voice on VHF. The side-mount antenna that you see there, there's actually was more than one at one time, was the packet antenna.
Okay.
And it's also a backup voice antenna.
Now, are they all guys, or are some of those dipoles, the wires coming off?
There's a G5RV. Actually, look, I don't actually have that up anymore.
We should reproduce this picture.
It's a G5RV that comes off the center.
Okay.
And then those are Philistran guy wires. Those are Kevlar guy wires.
Okay.
The guide wires.
Yeah.
Because you do not want a galvanized guy wire going to your roof. Two of the anchor points were at the peak of my roof.
Yeah, good point.
And plus they interfere.
Okay, I'm going to play the stupid person. Why?
Yeah. Because if your tower gets hit by lightning, you've got a direct metal path to your roof.
Okay.
To your roof, right.
That's what I thought, but I just had to ask.
And that tower that you see there got hit by lightning directly on three separate occasions. At one time, on the second hit, that vertical antenna you see on top was blown completely off the tower right at the mounting point of the vertical to the mast.
Okay. Wow. I see that it's a little thicker there.
Yeah, it was completely blown right off the tower. It's been rebuilt. And that tower got taken down by a tornado in 1998.
Jeez.
It became a foldover that time.
Huh. And you're...
Give me a folder then.
It folded over at roof level in 1998. And then I built it again.
And your antennas survived? Your Yagis?
No.
They died too?
Nothing survived.
Okay.
But the house did and the animals did. We were very lucky.
Right.
So I built the 6-meter antenna today. The pigtail piece of coax that I built that goes between that top beam and the connection point, I spent probably an hour and a half building today.
Now, when you said you built the 6-meter antenna, did you build it from scratch, or was it a kit, or was it an antenna you bought and you put together?
It's an antenna I bought and put together.
Okay.
And it's that antenna that you see there.
Oh, it is that antenna.
But, you know, that was disassembled piece by piece when I left the farm.
Okay.
All right. And
I'll have to show you another. I've got a couple of wooden strats off the side of the building inside my garage, mm-hmm. just about the rafter level. And there's a whole pile of aluminum there. So it takes hours to reassemble all of that, get it straight and plumb. And it's to dimension, too. It's all telescoping parts. You've got to get all those parts at the exact right length that you need and the right spacing.
Right.
So that it'll tune up.
Right.
You need to weatherproof everything, because you don't want to service any of this crap once it's up in
the tower. Once it's up on the tower. Hey, you don't want to be hanging out. Well, that's up on, that's even actually up on your pole, where at least your HF beam there is close
even,
to the tower.
Yeah. Even when it's down low enough, it's hard to reach out to where that coax connects to the driven element.
Right.
So all of that is assembled before it actually goes on the mast. Hmm. And then I go to great lengths on putting the PL259 connectors that are at each end of the, you know, the cable's cut exactly the length that I need it. Mm-hmm. And then I go to very, very extreme levels of how I prep and solder and connect that connector to the end of each end of the coax. And I test it and I do a sweep on it. And I, because, you know, again, you know, if you get it wrong and it goes bad up there, you got to pull it all back down again.
Right.
So I average one piece of cable manufactured with connectors and tested per day in my spare time when I'm building stuff like this.
Right.
I've just learned the hard way.
Right.
It's not because I'm that retentive. It's because I've had to go back and tear it all down and do it all over again.
Exactly. Yes.
But it's in progress. It's in progress. I know I'm dragging this out, but I'm excited. I'm like, oh, that's finally.
Cool. You're going to have the best antennas ever. We're just going to be stuck with wire antennas.
There's nothing wrong with wire antennas, but I've got more, and I have the beams in the next room. Yeah. I'm going to use them.
Yeah, you got them. You might as well use them. You paid good money for them, that's for sure.
Let's put it this way. Friday night, if I had the 20-meter beam and the SB220...
Yeah. We would have heard each other.
I would have heard you, but 2 kilowatts at 20 meters, I think you still would have heard me.
Yeah. Yeah, I would have heard you, all right.
There were a lot of times back at the farm where I was the only signal on the air and at night on 20 meters.
I hear you on ground wave, probably. With that much power.
Although the lights were dimming around here, even with just the 10-tech.
Really?
Really?
Well, the SB220 is 220-volt amplifier, so I think that'll go a little better.
Yeah.
But, yeah, the lights do dim.
Wow.
It's kind of like local Morse code if you're looking at the lights. Oh, I can see what he said.
Yeah. You know what? We're talking about this on Late Night QRM, and this is our stay up late with the boys thing, but maybe we should think about resurrecting radio QRM and maybe turning it into an amateur radio-based podcast, you know, because you know, Josh is interested in it. You and I are both licensed. I don't know what I don't think Barty's licensed. I don't know whether he's interested, but he could certainly he's welcome to join us. But we could do this and here's two old hams that haven't been working it for a while, getting back into it and learning what's new since they last left it, and a new guy.
Yeah.
Just doing it from the first time. Might be kind of interesting.
Well, I can tell you this.
I built a desktop computer this morning, too, out of Friday night. It's like, well, all these parts I took out of my kid's gaming machine that I built from, you know, the old computer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't need a gaming machine to run the radio.
Right.
So I grabbed a case, and I grabbed the motherboards, and I cleaned things up, and I built a desktop today. I got a load XP on it, but...
Right.
Yeah.
Really, like, just... So slam the motherboard in and all the other peripherals and go.
Yep.
That's actually a big undertaking when you start thinking about, you know, you go, oh, what do I need? I need one of those. I need the right power supply. I need the da-da-da-da.
Get it all sitting around here, though.
Right.
I went on the bone pile, you know, grabbed some screws and hardware out of stuff. But, I mean, it's an AMD Athlon processor. But, hey, you know, what do you need for radio control? You don't, it doesn't have to be
No, you don't need anything overly well, that's a relief because I got like six computers over here. Oh. They're all Pentium 4s.
You have
that aren't doing anything.
Power. And again, this radio, this program that I'm slowly loving totally, it's called Ham Radio Deluxe. And a lot of hams use it, especially in the digital modes. I see they're all using HRD, as they call it. And it is fantastic. It's controlling my radio is sitting behind me on a shelf. I don't need to touch it. Right. I just connect to it from my computer, and I've got all the controls for the radio right there in front of me. And then I've got on the left, I've got thing to do digital modes if I want to. It's got DX Cluster, which we'll teach about. We definitely got to do an amateur radio show. The DX Cluster was cool. It sits there and it lists people, spot, you know, people DX all over the place, and they list their call signs, frequencies, and, you know, a little bit about it. And then I discovered, again, just still learning this program, on the right-hand side, it showed me basically a dial of a frequency dial, and like a long frequency dial, and they've got all the call signs from the DX cluster listed there and pointing to the frequency on the dial that they're at. And I go over and I click on a call sign, and it automatically tunes the radio to that frequency.
No kidding.
Yeah, it's cool. That's.
By the way, Michael, speaking of the word cool, I'm looking at your rig setup in your SUV. Wow, is that awesome? I went over and I'm looking at the other, like, oh, wow, I like that setup and back.
So I was literally trucking overseas on that all the time. And my pickup truck I had before that, I had a J38 straight key mounted right to the center armrest. And an auto-tune antenna, and I just used to wrap out W and pick up the mic whenever I wanted to, because I had a long commute.
Right, right. I'm looking at it inside the Jeep, and I'm thinking, that's a nice setup, the way you got that all rigged, that whole rig set up, and then the antenna mounts off the back.
Yep. And then that's, Barry, that's where the LDG tuner was that I built in the first place. That was in the back trunk.
Back of the
And then, you know, remote off the ICOM 706. And
yeah.
It would auto-tune the whip antenna to wherever I was at, and off I went.
That is friggin' ingenious. Makes me want to go get a Jeep.
Yeah. It's a nice desktop you got there.
Too. Definitely. Definitely. Sorry, I was too far away from the mic. Probably, all you probably heard was me mumble. I said, makes me want to go out and get a Jeep.
Yeah. No, we heard that.
You got when you get away from the mic a little bit, we hear the fans.
Oh well, the funny thing is I'm actually using the what is it, the old mic, the one that cuts out the Natty.
Oh okay, really?
Yep.
Oh. Was that a Yaesu 897 I see in your Jeep?
Hang on a second. For a while there, I had a QRP rig in there.
Yeah,
and that was Yaesu. Oh, geez.
I think it's
there's actually a sub page in there with all that stuff.
I think it's an 897. Should be. I think that's their.
It's a QRP. A TMV7A control head.
The V7A is a dual bander. That's the VHF UHF radio.
Right.
And what the heck? What did I just lost.
Got a loop. Got a loop on the. Antenna for your, at least I'm assuming that's a loop antenna. Yeah, it's FT-817. Sorry, it's the 817.
Oh, the 817, yeah.
That's the QRP rig.
It's QRP rig, yeah. Which link are you guys on?
Oh. Off the main page, if you go to the bottom, I'll go back here, off the main page of your website, it says picture gallery of operation, positions, and modes.
All right. Yeah. So that was the old ham bench, and that PC board you see sitting there. That's the repeater controller.
Oh.
That actually was a telephone line card, for a conference bridge, which I had originally wrote the program for the telephone conferencing software. And it has all kinds of high signal to noise ratio audio paths on that board. So I rewrote the program to become a repeater controller.
No kidding.
Wow.
But you can see the Tentec there. And then upper right on that left side is the ICOM 706, which was also my weak signal radio for VHF and UHF.
Now, did you used to be KF9SJ?
One of the many call signs, yes.
It's amazing. Oh, well, so I take it you've got a vanity call sign then.
That is correct.
Yeah.
I was originally WN9NRT, Whiskey Nancy 9, Nancy Roger Tango, and then it was a WB9. And then for N9T, oh, God, I don't even remember what it was anymore, TRK? No, that's a friend of mine. I was N9 something for a short while, and then I went to KF9SJ. Yeah,
that's an advanced call sign there, KF9SJ.
Right.
Wow, you're lucky that K9SJ was available.
Back then, it wasn't a big deal.
Yeah.
Okay, the loop antennas. That's a 6-meter loop on the bottom.
Okay.
And a 2-meter loop on the top.
Yeah.
And that's on top of Brockway. So okay. That's my view of Lake Superior as I'm working at 6 meters from the top of Brockway, and when 6 meters is open, I can work the entire country.
Of course, you're sitting there skipping. I mean, God, the a great lake right there.
I am looking at the picture of your Jeep up on the mountain, and yeah. I am so in love with that picture right now. It's like
you know why I live where I live now.
Yeah.
That's home.
Honest to God, I'm sitting here looking at it going, all right, well, I don't have to go to Canada. I'm just going to move into Michaelstown and see what I can do for logging work or whatever. I don't know. I still got my CDL. I can drive tractor trailer.
That's about as close as you can get to Canada without actually being in it.
I go grocery shopping in Canada, for Christ's sakes.
Well, it's a long ways around the lake. But,
yeah.
But you can see Canada from there.
How about that?
Well, guys, we probably should wrap this up because we're going on, we're way over 2 hours.
Yeah,
we are.
And, the amateur radio stuff, we could sit here and talk about this forever. And so I think we may have to talk about moving the talk over to another podcast, which
I actually, but on that same note, I was playing and friended a guy on Xbox Live who looked at our clan tag, instantly recognized that it had something to do with ham radio, and the guy just starts, it's like opening up the floodgates. Hey, what about this? And I had one of those, and da-da-da-da. I'm like, I'm just getting into it, so you're going to say things that are way over my head. I said, but yes, I'm just learning into it, and that is what it actually represents. I said, well, actually, it's part of a podcast, but that's where the actual letters the come from.
Yeah.
Right. So. And, oh, my God, I've had, like, friended, like, I don't know, up to date, probably 5 different people. They're all hams.
Yep.
They looked at it and went, hey, that's an awesome clan tag. And I'm like, oh, boy, I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. Michael, Mary.
Well, we'll get you up there. We'll get you to speed.
When you guys get a chance, go to the bottom of that page that you were looking at on the amateur radio stuff, and there's a couple more links, and one of them is a KO9Q antenna party.
I'm looking at it right now. I just went to it.
That top picture is a vehicle I had before the Jeep. Actually, I still have it. It's down in Wisconsin.
Wow, a truck?
Yeah, the red truck?
Mitsubishi 4-wheel drive pickup truck.
Wow.
I paid that truck off. I paid the loan off on that truck in 1990.
Really?
It's been and it got 30 miles to the gallon as a 4-wheel drive.
That guy put in a crank-up tower, right?
I put that in for him, yes. Wow. That was his call sign was KO9Q. He was a big DXer. Eventually succumbed to MS. Yeah. But wonderful guy. And a bunch of us got together. He moved to a new house to help accommodate his medical condition.
All right.
And we got a whole group of hams together.
Holy shit, look at the size of that antenna.
It's a 70-foot crank-up tower. and it's a five element. It was called a Thunderbird.
Holy mackerel.
High gain Thunderbird antenna.
Yeah. What bands was it? It was obviously multi-band. Was it all of them? Or?
But all of them. It's got to be. Look at the size of it.
No, it's got traps.
No, that's tri-band.
So, it's probably, 2015 10. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I like the little caption, "Look out, Europe, he's back."
I'm sorry?
No, it said, "Look out, Europe," and then this call sign is back. With the construction of the new antenna that you put in,
It definitely stood out in the neighborhood.
Yeah, well, that crank. What do you got?
The neighbors loved him.
Yeah, every time he keyed the mic, the TV would fuzz out.
They would just love him just because of the antenna.
Right. And my question is, what about support cables? I'm looking at the pictures there, and I know it's a crank up.
That is a freestanding 70 foot crank up tower.
Wow.
No cables at all.
I'm sorry?
There's no support cables tethering it to the house, to trees, to the ground, nothing.
Nope, but there's several yards of concrete in the ground.
Yeah, I'd imagine.
Yards.
It'd be hard to crank it up and down if you had guys that get attached to it.
Well, no, I know that, but I was just sitting here looking at it. I thought, well, maybe you crank it up and then you put guide lines on it to help maintain it blowing left and right in a high wind storm.
The nice thing is if you know there's going to be a high wind storm, you crank it down.
Yeah, but then isn't that when you need to use a radio and all other communications go out?
You can use it in the down.
That tower was rated, but that's a high gain tower, by the way.
Wow.
It's an old tower.
Yeah. So what the heck does something like that cost?
Oh, God.
A lot.
A lot.
What's a lot? I don't know. I'm new to radio, so I've been to one ham fest.
Thousands of dollars. It's not that particular tower has not been available for probably 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I put it in about 10 years ago, and it was still in great condition then.
Yeah.
They built that thing. Really built that thing well.
You see guys with towers and antennas like this, they have megabucks into their hobby.
Right. Well, then again, too, the same could be said of, I don't know, a certain podcaster in Jaffrey. Ever see the studio? You got the passion and you got a hobby that becomes a passion. Yeah. It's a little easier to spend a little bit more for the nicer gear.
But you're talking about some of these guys, usually guys that have antennas like this.
Yeah.
If you go look at their rig, they have a $10,000 rig radio sitting there that they're using.
Okay.
Yeah.
Roger that.
Yeah. So, not these poor pitiful ones that I have. Although they cost some money too, but
I mean, you're not talking change you're going to find on the floorboards of the car.
No. These guys are really into it, man. There are some nice rigs out there. Oh, I'll have to take you to the candy store one of these days.
Oh, do I hear a field trip coming up this weekend?
Yeah, maybe.
No, I can't. I'm going under the knife this weekend.
Oh, that's right. You're not going to be moving.
All right.
Yeah. Well, one of these days, once you get mobile again, we'll go to the candy store.
All right.
And it's in Salem.
Now, which one is this? HRO?
It's HRO, yeah.
Okay. I used to buy them most of the time.
I think
I used to buy from the Salem store most of the time.
I think there should be a contest that you can get a piece of paper, and HRO should do this, that says, visited all stores. Seriously. Because there's I don't know how many there's at least 11 of them all over the country.
Yeah, I've been to Vegas. I've been to the Arizona. I've been to the, it's the Silicon Valley one. I don't remember where it was.
Oh, yeah, I know where it's up. It's right below Oakland. I drove past it. I saw the sign when I was out there. It's like going down to Mountain View from the San Francisco area.
But the very top section of my tower.
Yeah.
I have a flat top section for my Rhone tower. Yeah. They're very hard to get. Hmm. They had one in that store. I physically went in that store and said, I've been looking for this. This is what I want. And the clerk says, you came all the way out here for this. We'll send it free shipping.
Wow.
Ship probably cost them as much as, well, I shouldn't say it was an expensive part, but they didn't, you know, they said, we'll send it back to Wisconsin for you, free shipping. Okay. Said, you came all the way out here for this.
Yeah. Wow.
No kidding. That's great customer service, though. That's when you're going to stay loyal. You know, you stay
people treat you. I bought a lot of equipment from them over the years, too.
Well, you know what? I've been to the one down in Virginia, and of course the one in Salem. I think that's, and I've been past the one that you were talking about between San Francisco and Mountain View, and I don't know what town it was in, but I passed the sign and saw it. So, but I always thought about that. I said, look at all these locations; they should have a paper, you know, visited, you know. All HROs or
worked all HROs.
Well, that could be one too. Yeah. Worked all HROs. They should have an event.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've got sample stations in every store.
No, they probably do have an event and I don't know about it. So I've been out of it for so long. Okay. Well, one thing this podcast has proven. To sum it up, because we really got to get going here, because we're coming up now on 2.5, almost 3 hours. The one thing we can say is we're not happy with the current election, and everybody's going to go, boo-hoo-hoo, you bunch of whiners. And I'm going to say, well, then 50% of the country is with us. We're a bunch of whiners. Get used to it. We're going to whine some more. And
I love cheese.
Is it with that wine?
Yep.
And the other thing we learned is that we can talk amateur radio for hours, so we should really move this over to another podcast, and probably other people are going, yay, moving over to another podcast!
No, wait a minute. If you do that, they're going to talk about Apple again.
Yeah, we barely talked about Apple today. So I think that's what we're going to have to do. We're going to have to crank up Radio QRM again and actually make it about amateur radio. Because I know I've been the past couple of days, I haven't even really gotten on the air yet, except for the trying to check in with Mike, because I really do want to see if I've got my audio all set up through the board. I got the radio set up through the board, and I want to make sure it sounds okay before I get on the air with anybody else. And start doing the other things. So I think we could start Radio QRM back up, and this would be like something new, a new passion. We could say what we're doing. We can Elmer Jash into getting his license.
Yeah.
And we could even look at different projects and things and learn, not only teach people, but learn on the way.
Actually, I'm at the AARL's website right now.
Yeah. So,
and still no Skype email, by the way. So my Skype's still broken. Half hour my ass.
All right, guys, let's wrap this up. So I will like to once again thank all the military out there, especially on this day, this Veterans Day.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Absolutely.
And thank you for doing the jobs that not everybody is willing to do out there. And both CONUS and OCONUS, because it takes a lot to keep the military going and keep our nation safe and free. And but you guys that are out there on the front lines, OCONUS, thank you. And we're praying that you get home real soon to your family and friends. So we do have a musical guest tonight. It's Jen Foster with You Stayed, and I think that's going to be it. So from the southwest corner of the People's Republic of New Hampshire, I am Barry J.
From the southeast corner of the People's Republic of New Hampshire, this is Josh.
And from the People's Cave in the suburb of Copper Harbor, I am Michael, the virtual people youper.
All right, everybody. We'll see you next week.
До свидания, comrades.
До свидания. Here's Jen Foster.
left it where it was. You could have left me in my buzz. You didn't have to see it through. And if you didn't, who would have blamed you? You didn't have a thing to prove, a thing to gain, much more to lose. If I were you, I would have lost my number long ago. But you stayed. Saw something inside of me that I couldn't see in myself. I was too caught up in my own hell when I pushed everybody else away. You stayed. I couldn't eat, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't fly, I couldn't sing. Said it takes a broken wing to really know what broken means. Well, I get it now, I get it now. Why everybody left me there, just lying on the ground. And you stayed, and you came. You saw something inside of me that I couldn't see in myself. I was
Samson, speak. Good boy.